Hello and welcome to Stoke Stadium, a rainy and cool afternoon, and the Bulldogs have their hands full this afternoon. One of the best programs in the NAIA, the Mustangs of Morningside College, come down from Sioux City, Iowa to take on the Bulldogs here this afternoon in Game 2 of the 2018 season. I'm Brad Boyer, voice of the Bulldogs, and we'll hope that the Dogs can rebound after a slow start in the opener. A week ago Thursday, August 30th, the Dogs opened with a 20-10 loss to Michigan Tech, a game in which Truman really struggled offensively. Their only score came on the defensive side as far as a touchdown on a Seagull pick six, and the Bulldogs fall to 0-1. Morningside comes into this game opening with a win over a fellow Iowa NAIA school, William Penn, 49-21. These two teams hooked up last year in Sioux City, and the Bulldogs certainly made a game of it. This was a Mustang team that won their first 13 games before falling in the semifinals to the eventual national champions in St. Francis, and they got off to a great start on a pick six on Truman's first pass of the game. The Bulldogs got a field goal, but it was Truman that was able to counter back down by a score of 14-3, a bit of trickery.
over that mark. So he is truly a phenomenal talent for this Morningside team.
And his childhood buddy, Connor Niles, they grew up playing football. They started playing together in fourth grade, and they were a part of a state championship team at a private school in Sioux City. So they have carried the relationship right on into college. Niles last year had 96 receptions, was an All-American, may have had the key play in the win over the Bulldogs in the 80-yard punt return touchdown. You go back to last year, Kevin, similar circumstances. Morningside highly ranked. Mm-hmm. Bulldogs coming off a tough loss. And take away two key plays, a pick six on the very first pass of the game by Truman, and the 80-yard punt return right before the half in a 35-30 game was huge.
And we thought that if that game extended another 5 to 10 minutes, the Bulldogs might have caught Morningside, as the Bulldogs seemed to have gathered their sea legs in that second half of that game. And, you know, that was coming off the 12-hour road trip to Michigan Tech and then the 6-hour road trip over to Sioux City. So hopefully the Dogs have been refocused, put the task at hand, because they know this is a pretty darn good, really good Morningside team that they're going to contend with, and they don't want to fall to 0-2 for the second straight year.
They substitute in the backfield A.P. Ponder, who got his feet wet last year, ran for almost 600 yards, but they had an All-American in Bubba Jenkins, who we saw both at Southwest Baptist, and then when he transferred to Morningside in last year, ran for over 2,000 rushing yards. So maybe they've taken a little bit of a step back. We'll see. But they can throw it around, and they still commit to the run. It's an offense that averaged 575 yards a game last year and 51 points. But the Bulldogs last year, Kevin, held them to their season-low total.
Season-low, 350 yards. That's the more intriguing. Yes, we need the offense to get going. We need something, some life there. But Kellen Nesbitt's defense against this high-powered offense is the main headline for the people coming to today's game.
All right. So that's Kevin, Eric with me. Hank Jansen will be alongside with sideline commentary throughout the afternoon. Coming up next on the Truman Tailgate, we'll take a trip around the GLVC with Associate Commissioner of Communications, Jeff Smith. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Truman State University, located in Kirksville, Missouri, is consistently recognized as one of the nation's best colleges and universities. Most recently, the September-October issue of the Washington Monthly ranked Truman as the 7th best master's university in the nation. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine selected Truman as number 19 on their list of the 100 top values in public colleges. Call us at 800-892-7792 to set up your personal Truman State University visit.
Time for the GLVC today on the Truman Tailgate, joined by Associate Commissioner of Communications Jeff Smith. Let's take a swing around the league. One game is already underway, and William Jewell, Jeff, will have its hands full today.
Yeah, William Jewell attempted to open its season last week at Drake, but lightning throughout the night prevented the Cardinals from completing that first quarter, thus canceling the contest. So now Jewell's season officially underway at home, albeit with top rank and defending D2 champion Texas A&M Commerce. The Lions survived a 37-36 double overtime thriller in their opener at over Texas A&M Kingsville. So we'll see what happens in the second all-time meeting between these two schools today.
And an old GLVC opponent comes calling to Quincy, right?
Yeah. Former GLVC member Kentucky Wesleyan's at Quincy today, with both teams looking to rebound after lopsided season-opening losses. The Panthers jumped right into GMAC contest last week, falling a 69-19 to then 25-ranked Finley. Quincy was shut out 49-0 at D1 Indiana State. So last week, Ty Martin Miles led Kentucky Wesleyan with 18 total tackles. Quincy was led by Cody Leonard with 11 stops. So we'll see what happens between those two schools today.
All right, continuing with the games kicking off at the same time as ours, McKendree, a road trip today, Jeff.
Yeah, McKendree in the Bluegrass State for its first road contest, having dismissed Northern Michigan in Lebanon last week, 34-28. The Bearcats had to rally to do so, scoring on its final five possessions and posting 27 points over the final 22 minutes for the win. Reese Metcalf, under center for McKendree, found 8 different receivers for 250 yards and 3 TDs. Now, the Thoroughbreds are 0-1 this season, 38-31 setback last Saturday at Slippery Rock. Quarterback Jewel St. G proved to be a dual threat for the team, throwing for 2 and running for 2 more scores. And The last time the two met was actually the first time in the series, a 50-0 Bearcat home shutout over Kentucky State last year.
Missouri S&T got off to a good start. Where are the Miners at today, Jeff?
Yeah, 31-14 win over Eastern New Mexico last week. S&T begins a four-game stretch away from home today at Northwood, looking to go 2-0 for the first time in 6 years, as well as seeking some revenge on the Timberwolves that got the best of them last year, 47-34. GLVC Offensive Player of the Week, Tyler Swart, threw for nearly 300 yards and four touchdown passes last week in the win. Deshaun Jones extended his GLVC record to 10 straight 100-yard rushing efforts with a 106 on 22 carries. Northwood fell behind early in the bid, eventually lost 40-27 last week at Tiffin. They were ranked Northwood picked to finish fourth in the GLIAC following a 7-4 record last fall, their best since 2009.
All right, so those are the matinees. Now let's go to the night slates, and Southwest Baptist has another long road trip.
Yeah, for the second straight week, they are playing away from Bolivar, this time traveling to Mississippi College, which posted a defensive stop in the final minute to top Clark Atlanta 31-30 last week. SBU dropped a 49-7 contest at D1 Houston Baptist in the opener. Dylan Mountain under center, leading the team both in passing and rushing last week. Tyler Kurtz collected 12 tackles in the loss. Mississippi College has two DBs recognized this past week as junior Elijah Rogers was the Gulf South Conference Defensive Player of the Week following two picks and eight tackles, and Jalen Hassel was the Gulf South Freshman of the Week as well.
And finally, the preseason favorites, UIndy, looking for a bounce back as they stay in the GLIAC.
Second straight GLIAC opponent for the Greyhounds, who certainly hope the home opener at Key Stadium fares better than last week's opener at Grand Valley State. The Hounds scored first, but Grand Valley scored the next 30, giving UIndy a setback and a drop in the polls this week. They enter tonight 22nd in the land. In comes Wayne State, fresh off a 31-0 blanking over Walsh last week, the team's first shutout since 2011. UIndy, which used to compete against Wayne State annually prior to the GLIAC, or rather the GLVC starting football in 2012, UIndy boasts a 12-10 advantage over the Warriors, including last year's 31-28 last-second field goal win. UIndy's on the turf tonight, but it's going to be a sloppy one. A lot of rain in the area here from that tropical storm, so look for reigning GLVC Freshman of the Year, Al McKellar, to be the workhorse in the backfield for the Hounds.
And Lincoln lost at Missouri State Thursday, 52-24. Thanks for the update, Jeff.
As always, Brad.
All right, that is the Associate Commissioner of Communications for the GLVC, Jeff Smith. Coming up next on the Bulldog Beat, Eric visits with safety Wyatt Fischel. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
If you missed the obituary report on Quix or Crest, log on to centralmoinfo.com. Click on the obituary tab and view all the area obituaries brought to you by Cater Funeral Home. All area obituaries and their service information can be found on Central Mo Info daily. For more information on Cater Funeral Home, click on their banner at the top of the obit page on centralmoinfo.com. Cater Funeral Home, where life and memories are honored.
Here on Superstation Crest, ahead of week two of the Truman State football season, we are joined by Bulldog Wyatt Fischel. Wyatt, how have you enjoyed your time at Truman so far?
It's been a blast. Yeah, it's been fun hanging out with a good group of guys here on the football team, and love the town.
What are some hobbies you've picked up? What classes have you enjoyed, etc.?
I actually came here not really excited about taking a foreign language class, and I really enjoyed a Latin course I took, actually. So that was a little bit of a shocker for me. And then some hobbies, I guess. I've gone bowling a little more than I've grown accustomed to back at home, just because there's not a whole lot going on all the time here in Kirksville.
So how's the bowling game been treating you? What are you scoring of late?
Nothing fantastic. I am still I'm still very shy of a perfect game. Not even remotely close to that.
We're talking to Wyatt official of Truman State, sophomore with us here on regional radio ahead of Truman Week 2. How would you evaluate the way you've played thus far, obviously this past week, but also in your time at Truman altogether?
Well, last year, it was kind of, I mean, it was my first year last year actually getting some playing time, so you could definitely tell I was a little timid, and I don't know, I'd say it was a very average year. It's not quite living up to my own expectations for myself. And so this year, hopefully we can kind of make some steps in the right direction. We've obviously only had one game this year, so we'll see how it goes. But so far I feel like I'm at least playing faster, which is ultimately the end goal, is being able to just play fast and confident.
Take me through your off season. What was some of the stuff you worked on? How did you feel you progressed?
A bunch of the stuff is mental for me. I have to know quite a few positions on our defense, so that was also a big thing, jumping from position to position last year. So I would say that mostly just being able to smoothly transition from one to the other throughout a game. So the off season, it was a lot more videotape and more mental than anything. But, I mean, yeah, we still did all the winter workouts, the spring ball, and good summer workouts and stuff like that, but I think the mental aspect was a lot more important for me.
Truman's Wyatt Fischel with us pregame. Beyond just your own video work, was there anybody who mentored you or helped you through the process to get you ready?
I would say Coach K, Kellen. He was a big help, obviously, just, you know, being our position coach. I mean, I don't know if I would have ever even been able to do it without a little extra help. So it's just kind of a lot of mental work, and he's just kind of helped me really think about it. And I think that would be probably the biggest contribution to what's helped me.
So Wyatt, not a Missouri guy, but one of many Illinois guys on the roster. What was your recruitment process like, and what drew you to Truman State?
So I'm from a super small town in central Illinois called Arcola, and it is significantly smaller than Kirksville even, so I was not very highly recruited. So actually Coach Kearney was the one that recruited me, and not that it was one of my only options, but it was one of my few options. And I just came over here, and everyone talks about how small Kirksville is whenever they're getting recruited here, and I thought it was a step up for me, actually. So I just I liked the town, and I really liked the fact that AP Still was right in here, and I met some professors while I was here on my visits, and just really liked the place when I came and visit.
Wyatt, being 5'7", I got to ask you, what type of role has that played in your career as far as a motivating factor in any ways, and how have you had to overcome that in terms of your career as well?
I'd say, I mean, it's not too much. It hasn't been too much of a factor, honestly. Playing defense, maybe if I was out catching balls and stuff, but most guys I've gone against haven't been much over 6 foot. So other than a few tight ends, I haven't had to really do a whole lot to, you know, cope with it, but I don't know. I mean, it really hasn't been a whole lot of a motivating factor, honestly.
Wyatt, what are your goals and visions for the rest of this season and the rest of your Truman career?
Well, end goal of this season would definitely give it a go at the playoffs and win a conference championship, just like every year, I think, coming in. And I think to do that consistently and hopefully keep the tradition going here at Truman. Pretty winning program here, so it'd be nice to leave a little bit something behind whenever I leave Truman.
Truman defensive back Wyatt Fischel, appreciate your time. Best of luck in week 2 and in the 2018 season.
All right, thank you very much.
While you're planning your budget for next year, don't forget the parking lot. Call Capital Paving now for a free estimate so you can plan the best use of next year's resources, and the quote they give you now will still be good in the spring. Whether you've got a parking lot, a municipal job, or a highway bridge, Capital Paving is your paving partner. From the driveway to the highway, get a great service on time and on budget. Visit CapitalMo.com to request your free estimate. Capital Paving is paving the best way forward. Now serving Brookfield and North Central Missouri.
Time to take a page out of Hank's history book here on the Truman Tailgate as we visit with our sideline reporter, Hank Jansen. Morningside, this will be the third matchup. Of course, the two teams played in Sioux City last year. The previous matchup came in 1992 at Stokes Stadium. The Bulldogs won a hard-fought 25-21 game over Morningside. That was the season opener in 92 for Coach Eric Holmes' team.
It was. Morningside, you know, Brad, back in the day, Morningside was a Division II team. Back in my day as an Iowa kid, the only Division II team in the state. Then they transitioned and went on and became NAIA. But that was a good ball game. They had a back, and I can't tell you his name, Brad, who was a hot shot and was a returning all-conference guy and had a lot of yards. And it was the home opener. Eric Holmes' third season as a Bulldog, 25-21 victory. Eric Holmes was a player and then an assistant and became the head coach. And it was a good one, a good way to start that year. They'd gone to the playoffs in 92 with a 9-2 record, then dropped off to 5-6 in 91, and then that kick-started them a little bit to get things going for another playoff year, 9-2 in the regular season before losing at North Dakota State. So it was a hard-fought victory against a tough opponent. Right at Stokes Stadium. It was Kevin White, our sports information director's first game as a college freshman, first game watching, and it was my son's first time in the stadium as a infant baby, so has special memories for me on that day.
And one of the captains, obviously outstanding running back Chad Guthrie. Matt McKnight was a captain on that team.
Big tackle, Iowa kid. Obviously, his son's a second-year player for the Bulldog basketball team. Matt McKnight came. Brad, he turned into one of the best that John Ware coached during that stretch where he was the assistant coach. Big. Came as about a 220-pounder, ended up at about 290, but was a good player. Chad Guthrie, of course, from Newton, Iowa, the All-American. And then Robert Merriman, the big defensive back from the St. Louis area, I believe. And then Greg Godey, one guy we see along the trail. A good friend of Greg Nesbitt's, who's remained loyal to the program and active. And so those guys, that was a good group and a heck of a team. They were seniors that year and ended up at North Dakota State in the Division II playoffs.
I'm looking forward to seeing Matt McKnight's son play basketball for Coach Jeff Horner this winter. Eric Holm, we mentioned that game against Morningside, his first season as head coach with the Bulldogs, 1990. And on this date, that season, his home opener, the Bulldogs beat Missouri S&T 24-17 after losing the opener to Pittsburgh State. It was a good game, and it was a good win for a team that ended up in the playoffs.
His first win as a Bulldog head coach, just a short year or so after the realigned league that had Pittsburgh State involved, and they opened up on the road down there. I distinctly remember we had a conversation about it, how strange it was, all the time we had spent with other coaches when he was an assistant, was a player through 80 and then was an assistant through 88, left for a year, went to Eastern Illinois to become a quarterback's coach, and then came back as the head coach, succeeding Jack Ball. And it was a rough opener at Pittsburgh, scored some points, but got dumped 64-30. So that was a huge one, Brad. And at the time, we didn't know it was going to kickstart 9 victories in a row to go 9-1 and then go back to Pittsburgh in the playoffs. But a big win for Eric that day. It's nice to get that first one no matter what. A conference game at home, your home opener, and that was a big win for Eric Holm. Jeff Frost, who we've talked about many times, the all-conference quarterback, Greg Wright out of defensive back, Chris Cannon, a rocky, hard-nosed defensive lineman, and then Bill Strickler, a Knox County guy, defensive back, were the captains. And I know how important it was for Eric. John Ware was on that staff, a bunch of other guys, and I know how important it was for Eric to get that first victory, especially at Stokes Stadium.
On this date, in the 2007 season, the Bulldogs, under the direction of Shannon Currier, beat Upper Iowa 55-31. The noteworthy stat or stats in that game came from quarterback Matt Tisich as he set the all-time passing record single game with 493 yards. He also set the total offense record that night with 516 yards. Hank, he was a dual-threat quarterback who could sling it around the yard.
Yeah, and I don't remember where he transferred from, Brad. He was a two-year guy. They brought him in. It was Shannon Curtis' fourth year, 07, and he was also one of the captains. They brought him in, and I can't tell you where he transferred from, but he was an athlete. He could run and throw, and clearly that day against Upper Iowa, he lit it up. Dogs scored 55 points and set the single-game passing record. And it was a nice victory, and it was a nice season for Shannon Curry. 2-6-5 years back-to-back to kind of get them going a little bit, turn the corner after a couple 2-9 years to start. Of course, Curry succeeded John Ware, who went to Missouri Southern after 9 years as a head coach. And Tisich was a good player, and it was a good ball club. I wish I could put my finger on who some of the receivers were, Brad. Maybe you can remember better than me, but I can't tell you who he was throwing to that day without looking it up. But a big day for Matt Tisich, a good all-round dual-threat quarterback.
And that's a page out of Hank's history book. When we continue, still to come, we've got both head coaches, Steve Ryan of Morningside and Greg Nesbitt of Truman. This is the Truman Tailgate on Superstation Crest and CentralMoInfo.com. More coming up.
The need for blood is constant, and your donation would be appreciated at the next Sullivan County Blood Drive, September 10th, at the Community Room in Green City between 1:30 and 5:30 p.m. Encouraging you to give in Sullivan County are Rushmeyer Funeral Home of Milan, Browning in Green City, Sullivan County Memorial Hospital, and Green City Food of Green City. For more information on this blood drive or to find a donation location near you, visit CentralMoInfo.com and click on Give Blood on the homepage.
Down on the field with Coach Kellen Nesbitt, defensive coordinator. Give me an evaluation of your defense in week one.
Well, I think there was a lot of good things defensively week one. We were proud of one of the way we tackled. We played hard and we played pretty physical up front. So we like our group this year. I think we got a chance to be a pretty good defense. And then the big thing negatively off last week was the big plays that kind of bit us a little bit. And you're playing an offense that's very capable of being explosive this week. So hopefully we can get that fixed and not eliminate, at least minimize those chunk plays that we gave up a week ago.
Talking with Greg Nesbitt, he said in the preseason it got a little more physical in preparation for the season. Did you feel like that paid off in your tackling last week?
Yeah, I would say so. We did a lot more good on good, run game stuff, letting our kids play a little bit, and I think it helped tremendously in comparison to opening with Michigan Tech 2 years ago versus this year, particularly out of our defensive secondary. I thought we were much better to the football, much faster to the football, and tackled with a lot more confidence.
Well, you face a terrific offense here today, so what's going to be the key to slowing them down and maybe some things you picked up on last year that you can apply today?
Yeah, no, it's a tall task. They're a fantastic offense. No different than any opponent. You know, the first thing we've got to do is play good up front and try and stop the backs and get them one-dimensional. And that's a little bit of an oxymoron for an offense that throws the ball as much as they do and as well as they do. But if we do a good job, minimize and eliminate the tailback and allow our ends to really get up the field and pass rush, hopefully we can get a little heat on this guy and at least cause some positive plays in our direction too.
Let it pour rain, huh?
Yeah, that'll help too. It can rain for all I care. You're right about that, man. So I'm living right now. It can rain all day. We'll be just fine with that.
All right. That is Coach Kellen Nesbitt down on the field. And we will hear from the head coaches coming up. Steve Ryan, 16 years with the Morningside program, 155 wins, 40 losses. And Greg Nesbitt in his ninth year, 43 wins, 45 losses. Those interviews coming up on the Truman Tailgate. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
We now have two new sports features on Central Mo Info. Moberly Motors introduces Score Stream, which features a page for all area schools plus instantly updated scores and schedules. Bank of Cairo and Moberly presents our archived audio page, which will have all our weekly games archived for your listening pleasure. Two more reasons to go to CentralMoInfo.com. Score Stream, courtesy of Moberly Motors, driven by tradition. And archived audio sponsored by BCM, because caring matters.
Let's visit now with Morningside head football coach Steve Ryan, another strong Mustang team that the Bulldogs will play today. Coach, we engaged in a good one at your place last year. You went on to make the national semifinals. Just kind of from a mindset, where are you with this program? You've been so close. You've been so highly ranked at the NAIA level. Are you kind of in that unfinished business? You'd like to get to the mountaintop at your level?
Yeah, I think that's always kind of there. You know, what do we got to do to get maybe a little step further or to get a little farther, with the program and what we need to do? At this point in the year, I mean, everything's about, you know, what do we got to do to win this game on Saturday? Truman State's an outstanding football team, and then what do we got to do to win the conference and letting the postseason stuff take care of itself? But without question, as you go through an off season, it's always a thought.
And I kind of asked that from the standpoint of playing a Division II program like Truman. How does that help you in meeting your goals?
Well, I think partly we probably have the same problems that Truman has. You know, there's just so many closed conferences in the area, and how far are you willing to travel to play a game? And what we get with Truman State is an outstanding football team we've got to play our best if we want to have a shot to win the game. And so, with what we want to accomplish, we need to be able to play really good teams that can prepare us for the teams that we're going to see in the playoffs late.
For those coming to Stoke Stadium today, you have a prolific passing offense. Well, I should just say offense simply, led by your quarterback in Trent Salzma. He'll go over 9,000 career yards. When you start describing your signal caller to others as far as his strengths, where do you begin?
Well, I mean, Trent's just, start with, he's an outstanding leader. And the guys believe in him, they follow him, and he just leads the team really well. The positives for us, this is his third year starting. So he's been in a lot of games. He's been in some big games. He's seen a lot of things, which prepares him for the game. And then lastly, he's a very accurate thrower, and especially on deep balls, and that makes a difference and allows us to make plays.
And certainly a good receiving core. Connor Niles leads that group. What about this batch of receivers? You've had a strong passing game throughout your career there. What about this group?
Well, I like our group of receivers this year. We've had faster sets of receivers, but I think what we have this year is some bigger guys that catch the ball really well, run good routes, and they complement Trent in that regard.
We were familiar with your running back, Bubba Jenkins, a transfer from SBU, produced over 2,000 yards for you last year. He has graduated. What about the sophomore, Ponder, that has taken his place? Different style, or how do you compare him as a running back?
AP's got a very different style than the way Bubba ran. And so, I like what he does. I think he can make people miss in the open field. And he's got some decent speed. So there's some things he does really well. He is young, so this will be a big football game for him.
Coach Steve Ryan, my guest from Morningside, as good as your offense has been and is, do you feel like your defense gets overlooked at times?
I think so. I think we've got some excellent players on defense. We're returning a lot of guys, especially in our front seven. And so I think a great quality of this game is the guys that Truman State has up front are better than what we see in week in, week out. So it'll be a challenge for our offensive line, our defensive line, to see, really where they're at and what they need to work on if we're going to improve as a team.
And with all that, thinking back to last year's matchup, your punt return for a touchdown, did you feel like that might have been the key moment in the game?
Well, there was four just huge special teams plays in that game last year, and you can always find three or four plays and say these are the difference. But without question, the difference in that game last year were those four special teams plays, and the biggest one was probably the punt return that we were able to get before half and give us a little bit of a cushion going into halftime, especially as we were struggling on offense. So turnovers, special teams, especially early in the year, those are huge components of ball games, and and they definitely, came into play last year.
All right, let's talk about the Bulldogs you'll face today, and I guess now some more familiarity after playing them last year. Some of the key players are back. Where do you start with your scouting report?
Well, I think, just who they are on offense, their ability to run the ball, and just having two guys in the backfield, Barr and Salima, that are outstanding runners, and Barr throws a good ball and can do so much. So just in some way being able to contain those two guys and what they're able to do.
Have a great season, and we will look forward to the matchup on Saturday, Coach.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Steve Ryan, the head coach of the Mustangs of Morningside, my guest when we continue on the Truman Tailgate. I'll visit with Bulldog head coach Greg Nesbitt. This is Truman Football on Crest and CentralMoInfo.com.
Up early or out late, stop by Pancake City in Kirksville and get yourself something to eat. From the famous pancakes to a biscuit and gravy special, a sandwich for lunch, and maybe a steak for dinner. Pancake City has almost anything you could want, including appetizers and dessert. Sign up for Pancake City's a frequent diner program and start earning points for free or discounted menu items. It's easy and can only save you money in today's economy. Pancake City, where the slogan is, where breakfast and a whole lot more.
On the Truman Tailgate, let's visit with Bulldog coach Greg Nesbitt. Certainly not the way you wanted the opener to go. Where did you find the most breakdowns when you took a look at the film, Coach?
Well, there's no question. We just underperformed and didn't play worth a hoot, Brad, from an offensive perspective of the three phases. Really never got any rhythm, no consistent execution, and so certainly we were looking at every fast of that, trying to get better quickly. Defensively, we were solid at times, still plenty of things to get better at. Probably the most positive thing is they played really well down in the red zone. I think that they were down there five times and had one touchdown, I think four times inside the 10 and came away with 6 points, one of them after a turnover down to the five. So those guys were pretty stubborn down there in the goal area and fought, competed decently there. Thought our kicking game was by far the most positive of the three phases. We returned kicks and punts real well. We recovered covered kicks well. Our punt unit was solid in terms of net and those types of things. And unfortunately, you can't make penalties in the kicking game. And we had a hold that we returned a kickoff to their side about the 40 and set us back to our 24, about a 36-yard penalty. And then we had a halo call that you and I were talking was a tough call. Certainly wouldn't have been egregious if they hadn't called it. But, when you're coaching, it's why getting that opportunity. So and created some field position there. So negated the two penalties on kicking game, negated a really good effort by that group. So we're therapeutic. You're right back to the drawing board and 24-hour rule, win or lose, and you got to get back to work in an 11-game regular season schedule.
How do you balance not pushing the panic button and yet at the same time evaluating personnel, competition in practice, and evaluating, what your offensive philosophy is and how maybe you can do things better?
Well, in terms of a panic button, there's no need. Even if it's not going well, that panic button's not going to do you any good. It's all about solutions to problems in all three phases and not focusing on the blame and those types of things. But, I do think there's no question, with that the question that you just asked is, really figuring out, it looked like we didn't have an identity from an offensive standpoint, on who we are, who we want to be, from a run pass standpoint. And the one positive offensively coming out of that is our zone and zone read schemes, our option schemes, and our play actions off of them. That was pretty kind to us. And that's who we are, and that's who we're going to be. And that's going to be the pacifier that Coach Kilday sticks in his mouth as an offensive play caller, and our offense knows that, and everything. We've got to get that portion of our game going and then branch out from there.
Your 1,000-yard rusher, Jordan Salima, didn't play in the second half. I guess there was a toe issue that led you to give some carries to Malik and Andy?
Yeah, not even quite certain what to call the injury, but it was a toe and seems to be. He's bounced back pretty quickly. As you and I are taping this on Tuesday afternoon, we haven't been out practicing yet. We had a little walkthrough on Sunday, but we expect him to be at full strength.
There was an injury, though, that we do want to touch on, and that's Taylor Maness, who's in his fourth year with the program. Looks like maybe a broken bone. We don't want to officially call it this time, but it certainly looks like maybe his season, if not limited, could be over with. I'll let you speak to Taylor because it looks like this is going to be his final year with the program, even though the roster says a junior. Just talk about this young man and certainly a tough break for him.
It is, it's clearly, it's not any diagnosis. He's got a broken bone in the foot, and we'll see how quickly it heals, but certainly the prognosis would be it'll be a tough stretch to get him back yet this year. And he's a fourth year, a redshirt junior. He's got a year of eligibility, but he's going to be an orthopedic surgeon, and he's going to move on to med school, and that's the great thing about our Truman kids. There's certainly a lot of life after football, and so we're really just sick for him. And Coach Kellen Nesbitt, our D coordinator, secondary coach, was tremendously discouraged for him. I know on Saturday, Sunday when we got the news, or Friday, Saturday, whichever days that diagnosis came down. But it's, we all face storms in life and adversity, and he'll bounce back and move on, and we won't totally give up on the year and see if we can get him back a little time. But he's been a great player for us and a great Bulldog from that standpoint, great teammate.
I know one thing we talked about last week before the opener was the fact that in preseason workouts, you pop the pads a little bit more. Before we wrap up on last week's game, how did you think your guys competed from a physicality standpoint?
I thought both teams were, Michigan Tech and Truman State, it was a physical football game. And for us, on the defensive side, it was about as clean a game in an opener we've had from a tackling standpoint that we've had in a long, long time. I'd have to ask Coach Kay or Coach Kellen what our statistics were there in missed tackles. But that's always a pretty good phase. You saw kids like Wyatt Fischel and Travis Meyerson and Jordan Siegel, your safeties on that side in particular, showing up in a hurry and really tackling surely throughout the day. And kicking game was physical from that standpoint, and offensively, we just throwing the physical out, we just got to get better very, very quickly, from find some things we can do and do them, and then branch out a little bit as we're a little bit more successful.
Talking with Truman coach Greg Nesbitt, let's focus on Morningside for a bit, an NAIA powerhouse, and even though they're in that division, this arguably could be the best offense you face all season, led by their returning quarterback, Trent Solzma. Just break it down on their side of the ball. What do you see from the Mustang offense?
Well, they're a big strike, high-powered. They've led the country and set national records. I don't know if they set one last year, but 2 years ago at 58, 59 points a game, about 650 yards a game. This year will be no different. It's every year. I think they've had six straight seasons of 50-plus points a game, 53 to 59. And Salsma's will probably be one of the top two quarterbacks we see, at least on paper, throughout the entire season. He's a 70% completion guy. They know exactly who they are, what they want to get accomplished, and they'll a good mix of vertical and intermediate balls, and they're strongly committed to running it. Jersey number 5, AP, is what we're calling. I don't know. I can't pronounce his name. I'll let you do that. Their jersey number, he was 21 a year ago, but he's a good player from Omaha, and that'll be where everything starts for us, is trying to slow down the damage and make him one-dimensional from an offensive perspective.
The punt return was huge last year in the matchup, but you got to look at their offense last year. You'll take a look, obviously, at film this year. What were some things that you did well last year in the moments where you slowed down their offense that you want to apply in this matchup?
Well, when you look at yardage, I think we gave up about 345, 350, which was by far a season low for them. Held them to 204 throwing. We gave up 142, I think, passing or rushing in that game at 3.9 an attempt a year ago. We weren't a real strong football team, and the thing that we did at that particular point in time, and we played coverage and we canceled posts and didn't let them get up on top with Connor Niles. And our offense a year ago had the ball about 35 minutes in time of possession. They had about 25. So that's the best way to slow that offense down is controlling the football and the clock yourself. And hopefully we'll have some quick improvement from an offensive standpoint against a fundamental. Their defense doesn't get enough airtime. They're solid, fundamental, tough kids. So we've got our work cut out over there, and hopefully Jaden Barr and company will really bounce back with a vengeance this week and play more to our abilities and control that football for us a little bit.
That's Truman coach Greg Nesbitt. The kickoff is moments away. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Now more than ever, businesses are looking for employees who know how to collect, analyze, and interpret large amounts of data. They're often asking existing employees to acquire those skills to advance in their careers. Truman State University's Graduate Certificate in Data Science is a fully online accredited program that can help put you in the driver's seat when it comes to data analysis. Visit initiative.truman.edu/data for more information or call 660-785-5384.
Welcome back to Stokes Stadium. As just 2.5 minutes on the clock, Truman has won the toss and deferred to the second half. So right away, we'll have the opportunity to observe Truman against this high-powered NAIA offense led by its record-setting quarterback in Trent Salzman. For the play-by-play, the voice of the Bulldogs, Brad Boyer.
All right, thank you, Eric. It is a chilly early September Saturday afternoon for football, and it is still raining. Light rain at Stokes Stadium. The lights are on, and we have a temperature of 61. There's also going to be a bit of a breeze to deal with out of the northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. It is Military Appreciation Day here at Stokes Stadium, so the Bulldogs have the flag on the side of their helmet. They have a red stripe down the purple helmet, and they have a number on the other side opposite the flag. The Bulldogs changing it up with the purple tops, white numerals, and going with those silver pants with the purple stripe down the side. Maroon is the color for the Morningside Mustangs. Maroon breeches. They've got white tops with maroon numbers and a maroon helmet. And as far as rainfall, Eric, is it going to end anytime soon?
It actually will, Brad. Now, it should be a couple of hours into the game, but it should be all clear by about 3 o'clock right now, at least according to the future radar. However, even as of right now, just from our time outside, I would more so classify this as almost like a nuisance as much as anything. It's by no means a heavy rain, but there are, of course, umbrellas throughout the stands right now, but it should clear up. It'll be a ways into the game.
And as Kellen Nesbitt, defensive coordinator, said, let it rain. Pour against this offense that averaged 51 points a game last year and 575 yards. They had 518 yards in the opener against William Penn. Brock Roller on to kick it off. Connor Niles is a terrific playmaker for Morningside, both as a receiver and in the return game.
He had a return touchdown against the Bulldogs a year ago.
And the kickoff will find Niles at the 8-yard line. Up the numbers to the 20, to the 25, and he is crunched at the 27-yard line. Trent Salzma, he grew up in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota, but he crossed over and played at a private high school in Sioux City. Was a teammate of Connor Niles, and they hook up a whole bunch. Salzma, 2 touchdown passes away from an even 100 for his career. Last year, he didn't have pinball numbers against Truman, but he was right on target. He was 17 of 19 for 204 and 2 touchdowns.
Here is the fake and the pass, and it's a fade route down the sideline, and there it is. His childhood buddy, Connor Niles, double coverage, and he laid it right in his arms, out of bounds at the Truman 46-yard line. Hank Jansel will be joining us along the way as he's on the sideline. Eric, that was a beautiful ball.
That is just a dart, one-on-one up the sideline, a true bucket throw. Only his guy could get it.
Solzma will fake it. He's to the air again, and this time he throws behind Niles, who had more space that time than he had the first time. Maybe a slick football.
Yeah,
as it was well behind
on him.
Ball at the Truman 46. You don't want this offense to get into a rhythm early. They have three returners on the offensive line. Their center, Garrett Shanley. Their guard, Alex Harrison, and a tackle in Garrett Timmy. Straight back to pass, dropping it off on a screen, and there's Brian Edwards all over their top running back, A.P. Ponder. That'll be a loss of a yard. Brian Edwards, second on the team in tackles last year out of St. Louis, was 73, had nine stops in the opener. Let's go down to the sideline and Hank Jansen.
Ellis laid it right. Rain, it's still drizzling down here. A little beautiful pass to start things off. Right here, need to get these guys off the field and get.
All right, so we've got a third down and 11. Solzma dropping to pass. Now he is flush from the pocket. Throws on the run off the fingertips of his intended receiver, Austin Johnson, a freshman. And Wyatt Fischel was in coverage, Eric's guest, on the pregame show. So after a first down on the opening pass of the game, the Bulldogs stiffen up and get a stop. That is a victory. Spencer Wyant is their punter. And even with the big numbers the offense puts up, voters thought enough of him to make him a second-team All-American last year. He averaged 43 yards a punt. This one end over end, a fair catch signaled for dangerous, and it's on the turf. It's on the turf. Let's see who comes up with it. Morningside says it is theirs. We'll see. Woods, dangerous. Anytime you go lunging for a football, bad news. And he could not hold on to it with the slick football on top of it. And the Morningside Mustangs will start off at the 18-yard line in the red zone.
That has got to just be driving Greg Nesbitt nuts. You get five plays and out against this record-setting offense. And unfortunately, a miscue in the return game there, trying to catch that on the slide of sorts in the slick conditions. And now this high-powered offense starts right on the doorstep in the red zone.
So Solzma right back out there. Only need, well, he actually went over 9,000 with the first completion. Here's Ponder breaking a tackle at the line of scrimmage, gets to the outside near the goal line. And he is in for a touchdown. So that didn't take long after the muff punt. An 18-yard touchdown run by A.P. Ponder, a senior out of Omaha, Nebraska. Had seven scoring runs last year. Had two touchdowns and 155 in the opener against William Penn. And after he broke that tackle at the line of scrimmage, he scoots into the end zone.
J.D. Hurd had a one-on-one opportunity. Would have been a really tough tackle in the backfield. Had him in space, kind of got beat to the outside there for six.
Field goal, or their extra point kicker, Jared Amundson. And he's able to knock it through. 7-0, Morningside. Hank Jansen taking advantage of a mistake.
Well, you know, that's one, Brad, easy to say now in hindsight, but I think if he would have just sat and waited, it might have bounced to him. Obviously, better just let that thing go. So the crummy punt, wobbly and short, certainly paid off for Morningside. But again, Greg Nesbitt has talked about adversity, things you got to go overcome. You got to do an excellent job to get a stop, force the punt, kick it right back over, and then give up the touchdown. A learning experience always in Mr. Woods, his first full year back there, but that's one that he certainly should have made some other kind of decision.
Morningside out of the Great Plains Athletic Conference in the NAIA. They dominate that conference. Northwestern is the other significant football playing school in that conference as far as the national rankings. St. Francis, Indiana, the two-time defending champions in the NAIA, has been the nemesis for the Mustangs. They have eliminated them the last 2 years, including the semifinals last year after Morningside won the first 13 games of the season. Bulldogs had a receiver named Jeff Amundsen. Their kicker is Jared Amundsen. A short kickoff handled at the 10 by Woods. He'll try to make up for his mistake, and he zips through a seam to the 35 to the 40. Picks up a block at midfield. Turns on the burners. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Truman. A 90-yard answer for Lawrence Woods. After he gives 7 points on the muff punt, he takes it back to the house.
That's quite the answer, Brad. That is some serious sideline speed. And there's a bit of a cannon bang in the background to boot. But what a return for Mr. Woods. He just went second level on that far sideline and really had the end zone on his mind.
Hank, you got a great view of it. That was well blocked.
It was right up the middle. He read it correctly, right up the pipe to start, cut right. Somebody sustained that block. It might have been 29, Brad. I couldn't see for 15 or 20 yards downfield. Just kept working it and working it. Allowed him to get to that north sideline. He was a 4x100 guy, state champ for Berkeley. You saw the speed right there. What a nice moment for him to atone for that huge mistake and shoot some life into this Bulldog ball club.
No question about it. And the last time, Hank, a Bulldog returned a kickoff for a touchdown, we've got to go back to 2013. Tremaine Millender against Southwest Baptist had a 100-yard kick return September 7th, almost to the day 5 years ago. Hard to believe it's been that long.
And Tremaine was a rock-solid, hard-hitting defensive back, kind of a safety, who ended up returning some kicks out of necessity. So, the distance.
He did. Millender had a big kick return in that shootout against Nebraska Omaha in a season finale. 62-61 loss. So 5 years, almost to the date, the last kick return for a touchdown. Lawrence Woods goes 90. High end-over-end kick by a roller taken by Niles at the 6 up the rail across the 25, trying to answer back. Niles to the outside. Somebody just got him at the ankles. And down he goes before he got ahead of steam at the 37-yard line, and that was Roller, the kicker.
He kind of upended him there, and we've already got 14 points on the board. Haven't even played 2 minutes yet, and make no mistake about it, that was a pretty big miscue by Woods, but what a response, and certainly gets him in good graces with some of those teammates, because that is the speed that you have raved about for a couple of weeks, and he put it on display.
Yeah, he was a track star, McClure Berkeley. And you saw it. Once he got to the outside, they had the angle on him, but he had the burners. Here's a pitch in front to the motion man, and he's whacked out of bounds near the 40-yard line. And we'll have to check the number on that. He was not on the two deep. We've got a totally new number. So now we're going to be scrambling a bit for 22 for Morningside. Unless I add the wrong number, we do not have a 22. It may be Ethan Stratman. We've got a 21. No gain. Solzma, pop pass to the slot, and it's jarred loose by Travis Meyerson. Perfectly timed on Reed Jurgensmeyer. Meyerson jars the ball free. Meyerson had 6 tackles against Michigan Tech in the opener. Eric seen who that what amounted to a pass, because it was a forward toss to the motion man on first down, who that was. Trips to the near side, single receiver to the short side of the field, and a wing back. Third down and 8. We got a motion man coming across. They fake to him. Solzma drops it to his fullback, who's hit, and it's all about the spot. Good tackle made by Fischel, and they're going to mark him short.
Yeah, Fischel with a couple of big plays from that safety position. He had the breakup earlier to force fourth down before the muff punt, and here tackles him just shy of the sticks.
A sound tackle over who I think is their second best option in the passing game. You don't see the fullback used a lot, but Addison Ross last year, had 44 receptions, third on the team. They use him basically as an H-back. Here is the punt by Wyatt. This one is going to hit near the goal line, and will it get in? And the gunner down there grabbed the ball at the goal line and saved it in, and now the officials are going to confer whether this is inside the one or if it's a touchback or not, and it looks like Truman's going to start inside their one-yard line.
Hanks eye to eye with that goal line. You're allowed to step on the line in college. Collegiately, it's where the football is, not where your foot is. In the NFL, you're in the end zone when anything touches the end zone. But in this case, if the ball is out, then Truman's out of luck. But Hank had the view on that one.
Well, and to me, the ball cradled there. You'd have to have a replay to tell where the exact ball
right.
was. Clearly, he stepped on the line with one of those feet.
It's going to be Jaden Barr to sneak it for some yardage, and he does a nice job, as does the front of that Truman line, which is changed. The center is Nick Verbeek, the starting tackle. Last week, Verbeek, who has played center before, will be the starting center today rather than Pablo Adame, and Nob Chetri will get the start at right tackle. A gain of three on the quarterback sneak. Barr from the gun this time, hands it off. And it'll be a gain to about the 7 yard line. Jordan Salima did not play the entire second half. Coaches said he had a bit of a toe issue and so did not play. And for the second year in a row, did not have much in the way of any production against Michigan Tech. 7 carries, 38 yards for a guy who produced 1,100 yards a year ago. Third down and 2, backs to either side of Barr. Fake it, Barr on the keeper's got a first down and more, across the 15, breaks the tackle at the 20, to the outside to the 30, and they're going to bump him out of bounds at the 34-yard line, and Morningside bit hard, Eric, on the fake.
They sure did, and this drive's already a win and then some. Not only do you get out of the shadow of your own goal line, but to make it all the way out now to the 34-yard line, you've got a drive going. That's a huge swing.
Jaden Barr, 4,576 yards of total offense, 11th on the Truman list. And certainly had a bit of an off game in the throwing department last week, but the zone read was kind at times to the Bulldogs, and they went to it there. Here is a give off to Salima. Bit of a cutback, a little bit of a soft spot in the defense. Picks up two. Malik Robbins was into the game that time for the Bulldogs. I thought it was interesting, and we focused on the offensive total for the Bulldogs, which was just 257 in the opener. But Greg Nesbitt pointing out 9 plays that they used in that zone read or the naked boot situation produced an average of 12 yards a play. So let's see if the Bulldogs lean on that a bit more here this afternoon. That's what Barr did on the big gainer there. Now it's a play action pass, a rollout, got a receiver near side, caught. First down, Mitch Nichols out of Hannibal High School, bumped out of bounds at the Morningside 49-yard line. You get that Mustang defense thinking about Barr either giving it, faking it, and running it, and that time a little boot action thrown against his body for a first down completion.
And that's still a similar concept, going out of that zone read RPO look. You get him rolling to his weak side there. You're using a zone read to set up what was that pass play.
I think Nesbitt's big takeaway was, let's play to our strength. Let's not try to be somebody else's offense. Let's do what we do. Here's a shot near side, completion, short but effective. Dante Ruffin, a first down pickup of a quick 5, maybe 6. Ruffin led the team with 4 catches against the Huskies for 38 yards. The sophomore out of Bloomington, Illinois, will see him. Brasswoods, Mitch Nichols, generally as the receivers. C.J. Brown and Jake Ellis will alternate and at times play at the same time at tight end. We see Colby Roundtree has checked in at the slot receiver spot, a junior out of Country Club Hills, Illinois. Second down and 5, 9:30 to play, first quarter, tied at 7. Roundtree in motion. Fake it. Barr keeps it. He's got a pretty good surge to work off of. Then it's shut down quickly. And we'll see who that was. I believe it was Paulson, the nose guard, that made the tackle after a gain of two. So up front for the Dogs, Nick Verbeck, the center, Connor Borsenko, and Jacob Lewis out of Centralia High School, the guards. Jacob Van Doren coming off the ACL a year ago at one tackle, and Nob Chetri at the other tackle. Third down and three. Nichols and Ruffin, twins on top of each other near the hash mark right side. We have a two tight end set. One back of the backfield with Bark, and the Bulldogs convert. Barr to throw from the pocket. He's got his tight end at the 36-yard line. C.J. Brown, honorable mention, all GLVC selection a year ago with eight catches, moves the sticks as the Bulldogs convert on third down once again.
Barr hitting some tight window throws early. This is huge progress, and there was never any reason to fear after week one, but this is the quarterback that Truman fans want to see and hear.
Eric, in the opener, the Bulldogs were 2 of 11 on third down. They've converted two third downs on this first drive of the game. Ball is at the Mustang 36. Got a fullback in Morris. Here's a play-action pass, and they settle for Woods at the 31-yard line. Good decision, Eric, by Jaden Barr.
Absolutely. Got rid of that ball quickly, and now seeing a late flag near the quarterback as well. May we have a roughing the passer? We'll find out in just a moment. However, Brad, it has not punished Truman yet. In fact, they've all been positive plays. But worth noting, Jaden Barr's left his feet already for a couple of high snaps with the new center and Nick Verbeck this week.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. He wanted the fullback out of the backfield and pulled up and found his slot receiver at the 30. And you can tack on a roughing the passer personal foul. Came high, didn't he?
And I believe there was a targeting call along with that.
All right, so we'll have to check that out as we go to the sideline. And Hank,
I thought it was marginal on being a late hit, but they called the targeting, and he's been ejected. Clearly.
Okay, so let's get the number. Do we have the number, Hank? Can you tell?
Was it 60 or 50? I thought the PA guy said 50, but I thought it was more
like 50. Oh, we can see him over there.
It is 50,
yes.
It is 50.
So that is the transfer from Northern Iowa, Hank, Zach Skibinski.
Where's he from?
He's out of Sioux City. So I think he played with the quarterback and the receiver at that high school in Sioux City. Now, we'll talk about the targeting rule in a moment. We'll go back down to Hank in a moment and talk about what will happen procedurally here. As Skibinski's being ushered off the field, ejected for targeting. Barr hands it off to Salima, and he slides through just a bit of a crack and picks up 3 yards. Now, Eric, from what I understand, they'll be able to look at video here at halftime and determine whether he's able to come back on the field.
That's fascinating.
We'll see if he's able to re-enter this game or not in this game, or whether he'll be ejected for the entire game or not. We'll bring Hank on. I'm trying to think of the high school, Hank, that is in Sioux City, the private school. You may have that.
Helan.
Yeah, thank you. Helan, who won a state championship with Soulsman and Niles, the quarterback-receiver combination. Here's Barr from the pocket. He's got his tight end. That's Jake Ellis, the sophomore, 6'7", 254 out of Rock Island, Illinois. Had a terrific debut season for the Dogs last year. 20 catches, 218, 5 touchdowns to lead the team. And over the offseason, he added 12 pounds, Eric, to that 6'7 frame. He's quite an imposing figure at the D2 tight end level, 6'7", 254.
Barr whipped that right into his face mask, right on the money.
Sets up a third down and one. Backs to either side of Barr. Here is the fake. Barr will keep it. Trying to dive for first down yardage. He's got it to the 5-yard line. Needed one. He picked up two. And right now, Jaden Barr's got the Mustang defense on their heels.
Forgive the hyperbole, but when you struggle the way you struggled last week, this is almost one of those potential week two season-changing drives. That's 3 third down conversions. You had the roughing penalty with the targeting along with it. You started on your own 1-yard line. Now you're all the way up to the 5-yard line of the other team.
First down and goal. Nichols to the right side, Roundtree and Ruffin to the wide side of the field, the left side. Salima in the backfield. Dogs trying to drive and take the lead. Barr, plenty of time to throw. Drops it off to Salima, and he's dropped for a loss. A 4-yard loss. That's an outstanding one-on-one tackle by their middle linebacker, Joel Kotzer. The Kotzers lead the defense. They are twins out of Wellsville, Kansas. And they both had 14 tackles against William Penn. Joel was third on the team in tackles last year and now is joined by his brother Jacob in that linebacking core. That's a loss of five.
It appeared early as if Salima would be wide open, but I think just the timing of it, it took too long to develop, and they sniffed it out.
More room to work with at the 10-yard line to the end zone as the Dogs will throw for it. Back of the end zone, intercepted. Intercepted. That was Xavier Spann, cornerback out of Lakeland, Illinois. And I know what was going through Barr's mind. He's got the 6'7 tight end, but he didn't throw it high enough.
He did not, and if you're going to throw it to the back of the end zone like that, it needs to be where only your guy can get it. That was a heck of a one-foot toe-tap interception to stay in the purple paint there and keep it in bounds. But if you're going to throw that ball up, it's got to be where only your guy can get it, and for that to be the case, it had to be a lot higher because they were right against the back of the goal line.
All right, second week in a row, Hank, scoring chance is killed by an interception in the end zone.
And no chance on that one. Even if you throw it up high, it would have been questionable. Two mistakes in a row. If you're looking for your safety valve, the defender's there, you throw it away. Cost you five, forced to throw on second goal from the 10.
Here's a handoff to Ponder. It's charred loose. Ball's on the ground. And now the Bulldogs say they've got it. I thought one of the receivers might have snuck in there. It is recovered by the Bulldogs' Michael Neisler. Neisler, the defensive tackle inside, able to scramble after that loose football. It popped free in front of everybody. And the Bulldogs take it right back. So the two teams exchange turnovers. We've had some wild swings in this game already. 7-7 with 5:12 to play first quarter.
If Fischel didn't force that, he was at least in on the hit. And what a swing again. You said it, Brad. This is a remarkable start, and a great way to bail yourself out, because we had just talked about how that could almost be a season-changing type of drive at this stage. You turn it over in the opposition's end zone. Now you get another crack.
Morris and Salima, the backs, Brackett Barr in the pistol, handed off to Salima. A little shuffle in the backfield for that cutback foot, and then gets up in there for a gain of two.
Another high snap, and that throws off the timing in the zone read. He made it work on a couple of passing plays, but when you're going to run that read play, you're totally throwing off the mesh point of quarterback and running back.
Bulldogs had a muff on a punt. Morningside cashed in on an 18-yard run by Ponder. Lawrence Woods then took the ensuing kickoff back 90 yards. Dogs had a pass picked off in the end zone, but get it back on a fumble recovery. Here's a pass out of bounds as Barr was scrambling for his life. Seth Maitland, the defensive end, in a pursuit out of Creston, Iowa. Maitland, the starter at the defensive end spot. We told you about Zach Skibinski. He, playing behind Maitland, picked up the targeting foul on the roughing the passer penalty last drive, and he has been ejected. And the Bulldogs face a third down and 8.
Barr had to reach up for one with one hand to grab that one, so we'll continue to monitor this.
All right, Nick, get that thing brought down just a little bit on the snap. That one is shoulder pad high. Barr flush from the pocket and escapes one tackler. Got a receiver. Roundtree latches on at the 5. Bumped out of bounds at the 4 at the 3-yard line. The young man makes his first collegiate catch. He's 5'6", and he was sitting on that sideline wide open, waiting for the football. He nearly dropped it and latched on.
I think it went hand to knee pad to chest there. And, by the way, to make that more impressive, though, he had no room to navigate. I'm really impressed that he was able to secure it and stay in bounds. And that was Barr again rolling to his weak side. So we've seen a lot of the good of Jaden Barr as well this morning or afternoon.
5-yard pickup. Barr will hand it off to Salima, crunched at the line of scrimmage and driven back.
I'm curious to see how Salima progresses through this game. Again, battling that toe injury. I'm no expert on that, but you're playing on the turf, obviously. And that can be something that you kind of have to presumably almost battle week in, week out. Who knows if when he'll be 100%, and just playing through it right now, playing tough.
Salima ran for 110 yards against the Mustangs, caught 3 balls for 51. He caught a touchdown pass, ran for a touchdown, and he threw a touchdown against Morningside a year ago. Second and goal from the four. Give it off to Salina. No bar on the keeper. Has the edge. Has the end zone. Touchdown, Truman. Jaden Barr on the zone read. Kept it that time and scooted to the near side pylon for six. And the Bulldogs go on top 13-7.
Yeah, that time a perfect snap. It allows for the good zone read. Salima going to the right. Everybody follows. And then Barr just takes it back the left. He really more or less had a trot in there, relatively uncontested. Pretty.
Let's go to Hank on the sideline.
Three-quarter yard touchdown drive, 99 and three-quarter yards.
With a fumble mixed in there. Remember, the drive started, the initial drive, 99 and three-quarters is what Hank's talking about. The extra point kick good by John Scheiderer. Make it 14-7. Hank, going back to your point, with one play mixed in between, the Bulldogs get their six, now seven. 99 and three-quarter yards. You drive down in the red zone, throw an interception, then Ponder on the first play coughs it up, and the Bulldogs able to punch it in. Hank?
Who recovered that fumble, fellas, in the shuffle? I couldn't
Neisler.
See.
Michael and Neisler, the defensive tackle.
And who caused it?
Well, Herrick thought maybe Fischel. He couldn't tell.
Yeah, I couldn't either in the tangled mess. Clearly was popped loose. Dogs capitalize.
That is the 44th touchdown that Jaden Barr is responsible for in his career. That is now tied for ninth place. Nate Minnis, a quarterback for Johnny Ware's team, and Tommy Hayes, one of the best from the 80s, responsible for 44 touchdowns each.
Jaden Barr, 7 for 9 thus far.
And Roller will kick it off. He hits a little wedge shot, and the fullback, Addison Ross, makes a fair catch at the 35. Hank?
Tom Hayes was three-time conference offensive MVP, 81, 2, and 3. As a junior, that 82 team, Bruce Craddock's last team and best team, 9-1, and went to Jacksonville State of Alabama. Got beat in the first round. Only 8 teams in the tournament that year, so it was the quarterfinals. And got beat down there, but a heck of a good player. Three times as the conference offensive MVP in the old MIAA.
14-7, Dogs on top of Morningside. 3:09 to play first quarter. Trent Solzma will give it off to Ponder, and he's got two arms over the full football this time as he blasts off left tackle for 7 yards.
By the way, Brian Edwards, the official ruling on that force. Like I said, the official, a couple others in there as well. They've really been swarming to the football early in this one.
Ponder gets credit for 8. Here's the give to Ponder again on a quick cutback as his towel drops to the turf behind him. He didn't get a first down.
Devecki got in the backfield there, kind of forced a bit of a reroute and allowed for his teammates to make the tackle.
Reed McBroom was in the game for Brookfield. Terrific bell game last night on Crescent. Eric got to call. 9-6 Marceline winner on a last-second field goal. Third down and 2. Wow, the Dogs have a chance to send this high-powered offense 3 and out. Four-man front for the Dogs. Motion man, Juergensmeyer. Solzman will turn and give it to Ponder. And he's hit in the backfield and stopped. And the Bulldogs are winning the line of scrimmage right now. I think we had Jake Hayes in there, and Sam Reeves, the rush end, got in there and made a run stop, and that is going to be a tackle for loss. If it officially goes to Reeves, he is going to move up to third all time in tackles for loss. He came to this game with 33.5, just a junior. And the punter, Wyant, is on, and he has this one turnover big time. Hits at the 5 and fortunately scoots in to the end zone. Sammy Reeves, 4th, coming into the game. Tackles for loss. Hank Jansen, last week, passed Judd Leinart from Louisiana High School. What a good pair of linebackers John Ware had in Leinart and Tamimi Yowie.
And we talked many times how tough and hard-nosed Jed Leinhart was. Played hurt part of 2 seasons, significantly hurt with shoulder problems and whatever, but he was a big, solid run stuffer, mobile. He was a darn good backer. And Tamimi Yowie, absolutely, had speed and physicalness and two excellent linebackers in those early 2000s for John Ware.
And to me, with the Columbia Orthopedic Group doing well, first down for the Bulldogs at the 20-yard line after the touchback. Twin receivers to the right side, two tight end set. Barr will fake it, and a pass to the slot receiver, Mitch Nichols. And the former Hannibal Pirates made his second catch here of the first quarter as we go back down to Hank.
You know, last year that second half in Sioux City, certainly a tale of two halves. Dogs dug themselves a hole but played really well in the second half, keyed by Mr. Jorgensen, who ended up catching 11 or 12 passes for almost 200 yards, most of it in the second half, a lot of it over the middle, 10 to 20 yards, and the Dogs moved the football considerably through the air.
He had 12 catches for 199 and two scores. Second down and three. Barr will keep it on the read option, and he's tackled from behind. We'll pick up a yard, maybe two. It's going to be third and short as this first quarter clock is winding down. One of the keys last year to the Bulldogs nearly beating Morningside, they ran 20 more plays, and in time of possession, the Dogs had it 34 minutes, Morningside 25 minutes, and Hank, that is the prescription again today for these Dogs.
And what was that halftime score last year, Brad? It ended up 35-30, I believe.
28-10 after the punt return right before half.
And scratch back hard. Defense played well in the second half and just came up short.
Third down and a long one, a short two. Down to the final seconds of the quarter. Barr will throw for it. And a diving attempt by the receiver, and he's got it. Well done by Dante Ruffin.
That is eight first downs for Truman to two for Morningside. And get this, this seems almost unfathomable. Truman's at like 2.5 minutes of possession right now through all this, just because Morningside had kind of a long-ranging drive. Then they got the turnover on the punt, but it's been all Truman. Four for four on third. Now five for five with that on third
down. Yeah, after 2 of 11 in the opener. Let's step aside for 1 minute. 14-7 Truman after one quarter. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
For 75 years, Moberly Motors has been driven by tradition, and that tradition continues with the 100% completion of our brand new facility and with the introduction of our brand new website. MoberlyMotors.com now makes it easier than ever to search hundreds of new Fords, Lincolns, Chryslers, Dodges, Jeeps, Rams, and pre-owned vehicles, schedule service, get credit pre-approved online, and much more. It's just another way Moberly Motors is making car buying easier while still saving you money. So don't just take our word for it. Do a simple Google search and you'll see for yourself. Facebook, 4.5 stars out of 5. Google, 4.6 stars out of 5. Car Gurus, 5 stars out of 5. Cars.com, 4.6 stars out of 5. Dealer Raider, 4.9 stars out of 5. And the list goes on. Come visit the all-new Moberly Motors today on North Morley Street in Moberly and see what all the buzz is about. And check out our brand new website at MoberlyMotors.com.
Here, Eric Duick, Hank Jansen at Stoke Stadium. Glad you're with us here. And the rain, at least for the moment, has subsided. And the Bulldogs didn't have enough time, apparently, at the quarter break. So they got to spend a timeout as we go back down to Henry on the track at the Kenny Gardner track.
Hey, did you reference a little bit ago, Brad, that they will look at the tape on that targeting?
I believe
that's go back and look?
I believe that's the rule, but I'll have to see if that happens or not. We've talked about this rule before.
We've talked about it before. What a difficult task for officials at all levels below Division I. You've got to make those calls, split second, no replay up there, no stop the game and look at it like we see in Division I. So it's considerably more difficult for these officials with this specific call as well as others, but this one can be such a crucial call involving injections and penalties. And so I would hope maybe there is some way to go back and look. I don't know that, but it's a tough task that the Division I guys don't have to be as concerned with the instant replay.
Century 21 Whitney Agency of Kirksville gets it sold. Like them on Facebook or visit C21Kirksville.com, the only website you need for Northeast Missouri real estate. And the handoff for the first time this afternoon to Andy Satula, the senior out of Rolla, Missouri, 5'7", 200 pounds. Had an outstanding Bulldog debut his freshman season. Nicholas Gustav on the stop. Go ahead, Hank.
forced into action Mr. Satula was as a freshman because of injuries. Absolutely responded. Brad had a huge game, I think, of William Jewell, but was durable, did a heck of a job, pressed into duty.
He did have a big game at Jewell and also on the non-conference game to St. Francis. Here's another catch by Mitch Nichols. Dogs have found something with Nichols spanning coverage, their top corner guy. Nichols last year didn't catch a ball, had one in the opener. He's caught three. Today, the former All-State running back from Hannibal High School. We were talking about Andy Satula, Hank. The Dogs played a non-conference game against St. Francis. When we say St. Francis, that's an NAIA power, but that's the Indiana St. Francis. The Bulldogs played the St. Francis in Joliet.
Southwest Chicago suburbs was a lot of fun. Dogs played well that day for the victory.
And Satula had 172 yards and two TDs. Barr scrambling on third down, trying to stay perfect. Lobs it to Ruffin for another conversion. 6-for-6 on third down. Move the sticks in the second quarter, Eric.
Wheeling and dealing again, going to his weak side, Brad. And as I'm sure you've noticed, it's been a lot of quick hitters for Barr thus far, with the exception of the pass to the 5-yard line. That was kind of a rainbow to Roundtree earlier, but it's been a lot of quick hitters trying to get Barr in rhythm and then some zone read off of that. I love the play calling thus far, so message heard for Mr. Kilday.
All right, we've got a new receiver into the game for the Bulldogs, Spencer Newell out of Joplin, Missouri. Here is Satula for short yardage. Spencer Newell would have played for our buddy Curtis Jasper, former Westrand coach that led the Hornets to the Dome. He's now the head coach of the Eagles of Joplin High School. Newell, 5'9", 178, redshirt junior. A gain of 2 for Satula. Satula, that 172 yards his freshman season against St. Francis, was the most rushing yards for a freshman since Harlan Hill winner Jared Anderson. This time Barr's pass sails on him out of bounds, and Ruffin didn't have much space anyway. Jared Anderson, if folks are tuning in unfamiliar with Truman football history, Harlan Hill winner, or basically the Heisman Trophy winner in Division II in 1996 when he was a freshman in 93, had 172 against Northwest, and Satula matched that with 172 his freshman year against St. Francis, Illinois. Dogs face another third down and 8. 6-for-6, trying to convert again. Trip stacked up just beyond the hash mark, right side from midfield. Barr straight drop back. Now he's going to scramble with his legs to the near side. Pulls up at the sideline, launches it down the field. Turning and nearly making an acrobatic grab was Newell inside the 5-yard line. Very good coverage there by their top cover corner, Xavier Spann.
That was a really beautiful ball from Barr on the run. Just a drop into the 5-yard line. You're often taught to throw that football to the sideline, but that actually would have been a ball where, because there was no safety help there, they could have got that a little bit more middle and allowed for the receiver a better chance just given his body positioning. But either way, he had an opportunity to make the catch, a tough one at that, and now a whistle on the punt.
Yeah, before, well, Roller goes ahead and kicks it, but we have a flag before. False toward offense, so that'll give Roller a little more space to drop this side thing inside the 10, hopefully. In the opener, Roller had two punts inside the 20 and averaged 35 yards a punt. Senior out of Grundy City, Iowa, his brother's on the roster. In fact, the Bulldogs have 4 sets of brothers on this team. Ball backed up to the Truman 45, 12-17 to play first half. Here comes the rush. Roller hits it as the protectors were there. This is going to stick at the 3 and then kick on into the end zone for a touchback. 14-7 Truman on top here at Stokes Stadium. Hank, I think the rain's done for now, isn't it? We getting anything
for the most
down
part,
there?
Yeah. Kind of a sporadic drop or two here and there, but it was a steady little drizzle mist, and it has pretty well cleared up. Just a shade of something, so about as good as we can do. People on the way up here today said it poured near Atlanta and La Plata, and then they ran out of it as they got to Kirk. So we never had that this morning at all, just kind of a steady light drizzle all morning.
Playing on the turf surface at Stoke Stadium. No footing issues here. Here's a pass over the middle. Bulldogs may get flagged or not. Oh, the official says perfect timing by DeAnthony Knight as he jarred the ball loose at the 33-yard line. Well played by D. Knight. Knight, 2 years ago, we mentioned in the opening broadcast, he and Woods not a part of the team last year, didn't get to play, but Knight, 2 years ago on the conference championship team, led the squad with 14 pass breakups. Second down and 10. Here comes the rush on Solzman. They've got the tunnel screen set up big time. Scrambling is Stratman across the 40, 45 to the 48-yard line. Ethan Stratman with the catch on the tunnel screen. Knight able to scramble after him and make the stop at the 48. A good call and a good time for the Mustangs, down 7.
And Knight was among the last men to beat there. Edwards was chasing, but just so much speed to that sideline.
Stratman out of a good-sounding hometown, Wahoo, Nebraska. Here is the handoff to Ponder. He doesn't have any room. Bulldogs stuff him at the line of scrimmage and driving back. John Sheeler had a nice opening game. He backs up Sam Reeves at that end spot. And the Dunlap Illinois product had 6 tackles in the opener after having 5 all of last season. And that one behind the line of scrimmage, he got some help as well. Second down and 11. To this point, Solzma and the offense have been held in check by the Bulldog defense. Handed off to Ponder, and there's Sheeler again, dragging him down from behind. He'll pick up 4, sets up 3rd and long for the Stangs. 10:54 to play first half.
We really have not seen, with the exception of that dime throw on the first play of the game, Solzma getting any sort of rhythm yet.
That one throw put him over 9,000 for his career. Third down and 7. Solzma straight back. Protection holds. Got a receiver on a crossing route. That's a good one-on-one tackle by Siegel, but a flag may bring it back. Austin Johnson, a freshman, on the crossing route. Siegel with the stop. It's going to be close to the necessary yardage for first down, but let's check out the flag. Got an illegal receiver downfield, or ineligible receiver downfield. So wave off the potential first down pickup.
A really good open field tackle out of Jordan Siegel, too. Won't matter, but a really good open field tackle, which was one of the strengths of week one, as Coach Nesbitt had mentioned in the pregame.
Both Nesbitts mentioned it. Father Greg and son Kellen, the defensive coordinator. So third down and 12, Markov 5. Bulldogs showing blitz. Solzma from the gun. Now we'll pull up and glance to the sideline. Solzma, 6 foot, 210-pound senior. Drops straight back, 4-man rush, steps up in the pocket, floats it downfield, double coverage. No way that's going to be completed. Intended receiver was Stratman, and he was bracketed very nicely by J.D. Hurd and also Zach Nadel. Nadel is a freshman. He's a true freshman out of Plainville, Illinois. I saw some P chairbacks in the stands. Wonder if they're from Plainfield. 5'11", 185. By the way, we hated to hear the news about Taylor Maness. We talked with Coach Nez on the pregame show out of Nevada, Missouri. Broke a bone in his foot in the opener and is likely out for the season. Drifting over is Woods, and he muffed it again. And Morningside has it at the 15. Second time, Morningside's going to have the football in the red zone as Woods muffs the punt. Well, it's feast or famine for Lawrence today. He gave it up. Morningside scores a touchdown. He took it back on a 90-yard kickoff return, and now he gives it back to the Mustangs. They will take over the football at the 15. And, Eric, without those two muffs, Mustangs would have nothing going today.
Not at all. And he was about to walk off the field, and Coach Greg Nesbitt said, get out there. They still want him in coverage here.
Go make a play on defense. Pistol formation. Play action pass. Solzman, nothing to throw to, will take off. Now throws it on the run. It's caught. Was the foot in bounds? Side judge raises his arms. Touchdown. Reed Juergensmeyer near side of the end zone going out of bounds.
Woods didn't have a chance to make a play on that one because he was the corner on the other side. They go after Knight on the near side here, and a good catch right near the front pylon.
And the exact same scenario from the first quarter. After the muff punt, the Mustangs score on the first play. It was Ponder on an 18-yard touchdown run. That time it's Solzma, 15-yard pass to Juergensmeyer. The extra point by Amundsen good, and we are tied at 14. And Hank Jansen, much like last year at Sioux City, a couple of freebies that the Mustangs take advantage of here.
You know, the biggest part of returning punts, fellas, is decision making. When to fair catch, when to get away, when do you get what you can, you know, and try and get 8, 9, 10, 12 yards, a little field position. But decision making clearly right there, kind of pinned against the sideline, high hanger, take the fair catch and move on, get the ball right where you are. So two huge mistakes by this youngster have resulted in both touchdowns for the Mustang.
To Hank's point, that was awkward too. It wasn't quite the full sliding debacle of the first one, but as opposed to being at 5'9", his height, he was probably at about 2.5 feet. It was kind of like a half slide. He was almost on a knee of sorts. It was still pretty awkward, and that was why he didn't catch it. It's not as if he's just dropping these footballs.
Called for a fair catch, did he? I think he was going to try and return it. I didn't see the signal, and that was certainly would have been called for. Again, hindsight, it'll be the real deal, but I thought that's one. Pinned against the sideline, defenders converge, just catch the thing, fair catch, take it right there. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did flip that up, but I didn't see the fair catch signal.
This could be a 14-0 game. This kickoff dribbled along the ground. They want no part of Woods in the kick return game. And the up man tackled at the 36. Last year, that would have been McBroom. I'm not sure if he's the one who handled that kick that was rolling along the turf or not. Bulldogs, pretty good field position, 36-yard line.
Truman has 9 first downs to Morningside's 4, but as you've said, those 2 muff punts and right off of it, touchdowns for Morningside. Truman's also out passing and out rushing Morningside.
I always think it's a curious non-statistic that the muff punt doesn't count as a turnover. I mean, what else is it? I mean, it's not counted as a fumble. Here is the Bulldog running play going nowhere and going backward. I've never quite figured out how that doesn't factor in somehow into the turnover race. I guess, other than the fact that I guess you never technically possess the football would be the explanation.
Certainly erases a possession, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Loss of a yard there. On the carry by Salima. Still trying to get him untracked here in 2018. Twin receivers near side, single receiver up top, two backs in the backfield. Roundtree goes in motion. They'll option opposite way, and Barr will keep it. Slides through a seam, first down across midfield to the 48-yard line. Interesting play design by Jason Kilday, the Bulldog offense that time. Your motion man going one direction, the option comes the other way.
He had like a couple of baby hurdles in there too. Got just defenders kind of on the ground. He kind of went with a couple of miniature hurdles there, and he was pretty fired up too on the back end of that play.
Jaden Barr last year ran for 339 yards. Barr and Salima accounted for 90% of the offensive yards and plays last year. They had the ball in their hands the majority of the season. First down and 10 in Morningside territory. Reverse rollout on the bootleg. Got his tight end. That's C.J. Brown. Good first down play design that time with a little bootleg action. Tackle made by Drew. No, you're right. Jesse Faltus. Eric pointed to Faltus, the linebacker.
To your point about 90%, it sure feels like it's been 100% of Jaden Barr today. They do still have to get something going in the ground game here eventually beyond just Jaden Barr.
I like that they're going to the tight end today. Nichols with a couple of catches. Ellis with a catch. Good surge by the Bulldog front four. And Salima keeps the legs churning. Taking Mustang tacklers with him down to the 28-yard line. He was hit at the 37-yard line, and they're going to mark him down at the 28, and it's time to hand out a pancake. Man, the offensive line blasted Morningside. Van Doren, Lewis for Beck, Borisenko, and Chetry. Pancakes all around for pancakes and a whole lot more. Stop by Pancake City, located at 2102 North Baltimore in Kirksville, where you'll find everything from their famous pancakes to sandwiches and steaks.
Salima should get a courtesy one, too. That was some angry running.
We'll give him a short stack. Here's a handoff to Robbins. A little bounce to the outside. Breaks a tackle. 25. Lowers the head. Vicious collision, then out of bounds. But it's a productive pickup. Should have been tackled at the line of scrimmage. Gets three.
But yeah, that was Salima's second longest run of the year in terms of distance, but it had to be his best one just because of the amount of broken tackles and, again, the ferocity with which he ran just after we were saying somebody else needed to do something in the ground game.
Hank, I like what I've seen in the trenches today from the Bulldog offensive line.
You know, on that Salima run, the snap was high. He came to take the handoff, had to stop and hesitate. It's almost like that little hesitation opened up the initial hole and gave him a head of steam.
Here is a play-action pass and a shot to the far side, incomplete. Ricky McLaughlin, first time he's been targeted this season. He's a freshman out of Gurnee, Illinois. So we're learning the names of some new receivers here in the early going. A catch was made by Colby Roundtree. We've also seen Spencer Newell out of Joplin targeted and McLaughlin there.
Gentlemen, that ball's right on the mark out of your break. It was thrown with maybe a little too much velocity, but the youngster will be more squared away next time. But that ball's right there and needs to be caught.
Two tight end set. McLaughlin and Nichols to the near side. Third down and eight. Bulldogs may be in field goal range. Here comes the blitz. Throwing for the end zone for McLaughlin. Tripped up at the goal line, and here come the Hankies. It'll be pass interference and first down Truman in the red zone. Steven Evans in coverage, Eric.
He did the old, see, when you're defending in the cornerback position there, oftentimes what you'll do is you'll try and reach with your front arm and you try and kind of yank at the back of the defender. He, or the receiver, pardon me, he straight up just ripped him around into a circle. So oftentimes guys try to cheat a little bit, reach across with your front arm, and then maybe poke from behind and hit you early, but he spun him around entirely. So everybody in the building knew that was coming.
So mark off 15 yards. And the Bulldogs will keep this possession rolling deep into Mustang territory. 6:54 to play. Second quarter tied at 14. Let's go down to Hank.
Morningside coach saying that ball wasn't catchable, protest, and the official said he hooked him a little bit from behind in the last stride. It looked to me like they just kind of got the feet tangled up, but clearly would have been catchable with one more stride.
Yeah, so it's so easy to say it's uncatchable when you're slowed down from five steps.
This is a Morningside team that has won 18 straight regular season games. Wisconsin Whitewater, the last team to beat the Mustangs in the regular season, 2 years ago, September. Rollout Bar, near side directing traffic, running out of real estate, and just throws it into the turf out of bounds.
Roundtree in a bit of a scuffle near the back of the end zone there. I shouldn't call it a scuffle, but just a few words exchanged, and the crew went there and broke it up.
In fact, the last two regular season losses were handed to the Mustangs by the Division III powerhouse, Wisconsin Whitewater. And that's what Morningside is trying to do. They tried it with Whitewater, played them twice. Now the home and away with Truman, and that is find a bigger-time opponent, if you will. That's probably not the right phrasing, as we have a false start on Truman. But just trying to prepare. When you're a program like Morningside, your goal, Eric, is the national championship. It's not conference championships anymore, and they are far and away the dominant program in their NAIA conference. Northwestern maybe the one team that can play with them. So they've got to find a way to beef up the schedule. And yet at the same time, a loss, you know, sets you back when you think about home field advantage in the NAIA playoffs. So it's kind of an interesting catch-22. You want to play good teams to get ready for the playoffs, but you don't want to take a loss. So this is a big game for Morningside. Second down and goal. Barr rolling to the near side, has time, has a tight end, and it's dropped at the six-yard line.
That's actually a pretty big drop, because I think with the size there, you're going to barrel your way to the three or the four, and you're talking about goal to go with your entire playbook at your disposal. But with that drop and the ensuing yards after catch that would have came, now you got a tough third down here.
That was a fullback, actually, Morris.
And again, with his size, I think he's getting two more yards there just based on the positioning of the defenders. Now you're in a bit of a tough spot. You don't want to try for a hero play. Go for it if it's open.
Ball at the 15-yard line, third and goal. Barr drops straight back this time. Out of the backfield to Satula. Can he make a move to the 10? Crunch down at the 9. Picks up 6, and the Bulldogs will trot out the field goal units.
And that's what I'm talking about not making a hero play, because you've got 11 guys defensively within a 25-yard window because of the fact you're at the 15, then you take into account the end zone. Obviously, the field gets more congested there, and they know they just need to keep it in front of them. So you at least get yourself 5 yards, make it an easier field goal.
This will be a 27-yard field goal. John Scheiderer, the true freshman from Springfield, Illinois, made his only kick in the opener, a 21-yarder, and he's 2 for 2 as he drains this one with 5:59 to play in the second quarter. And Truman goes back on top, 17-14. Kickoff coming up in 30 seconds on Kress, KRES Moberly, and CentralMoInfo.com.
Let Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville cook for you tonight. With so many delicious menu items to choose from, USDA choice juicy steaks, fresh seafood, tender chicken, fall-off-the-bone ribs, fresh ground burgers and crispy salads, even something for the young at heart. There is definitely something for everyone in your family. Dine in or take home, Colton Steakhouse and Grill can cater to any palate. Let Colton Steakhouse and Grill, located on Highway 63 at the south end of Kirksville, do the cooking for you.
With the field goal, and Brock Roller heads out. The punter takes the kickoffs. The new holder on PATs and field goals is the starting quarterback, Jaden Barr. Keep that in mind sometime this season should the Bulldogs want to try a fake. Roller hits it from the 35 again. A little chip shot high into the air, caught at the 25-yard line, angling to the near side and out of bounds. Is their return man, one of the up men, Jared Myers. And so the Bulldog defense heads back out. They have been good today. Fellas, last year they held Morningside to a season-low 346 yards. Truman was one of only two teams against the Morningside defense to score 30 points, the other being the national champions in AIA, St. Francis. First down pass play for Solzma. Out of the empty, there's Niles. He's across midfield with a first down. He caught the first pass of the game. Has been quiet until that completion. And they'll mark his progress stopped at the Truman 43-yard line. Connor Niles in the opener against the Statesmen of William Penn had 9 catches for 190 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's a 21-yard per catch average. First down at the Truman 43-yard line. Reeves jumped unless he was drawn across. Plenty of time for this Morningside offense to counter back. 5:31 left. The only time in spent in the first half taken by Truman. Hank?
You know, that 92 game, Brad, here we talked about season opener with Morningside. The first time we played them, winning touchdown on the 25-21 victory came with about 20 or 25 seconds left on a short pass from Chris Livingston to Jeff Fuller. Neither Greg Nesbitt, who was the defensive coordinator, Eric Holm, would have remembered that. The only thing Holm remembered was there was a weather delay of about an hour in the first half. He was leery of lightning. But that game, and Greg Nesbitt probably didn't want to remember it because Mr. Yancey and his guys rushed for 260 or 70 yards. But the winning drive, 60 yards in the last minute or two, handful of minutes, and scored with 20 or 25 seconds left to win that thing.
Mark Gambiana.
Mark Gambiana, just a few years ago left here, was here for 8 or 9 years in the advancement office. He was a sports information director for Morningside that year. He had a little different take on that outcome.
Here's a wide receiver screenplay, a little shot here to the near side with blocking. The Bulldogs defended well.
It was, by the way, a false start on Morningside on the prior play.
Very good. And so it's second down and 13. Ball spotted the 46-yard line. We've had a targeting call and an ejection of a Morningside defensive end in this game. One back, four receivers. Solzma drops from the pocket to throw over the middle, and Jurgensmeyer got it, takes a big shot, bounces off Siegel, and then goes down at the 13, and now may have had the wind knocked out of him on that shot, but credit to him for a tough catch.
And obviously, first and foremost, thoughts with him on that, but as far as Siegel goes, It should be noted, because of the era that we are in, that was a textbook hit. He went low and just he drilled him in the chest. I am so impressed that he hung on to that football.
I'm assuming the wind got knocked out of him as he's sitting back up, this receiver out of Wahoo, Nebraska, 6'3", 205. Had four catches in their opener for 95 yards.
Solzma's got time to throw so far. He really hasn't been too congested in that pocket.
Pretty impressive, his long balls down the middle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, seriously.
And those post routes are dangerous from these Mustangs, and they're trying to answer back. Down by three. Morningside scored first after a muff punt. Bulldogs and Woods took the ensuing kickoff 90 yards to tie the game. Truman went on top after a fumble recovery. Jaden Barr scooted in from five. Morningside, after another muff punt, scored. Bulldogs just got a field goal to make it 17-14. Now here come the Mustangs. Bubble screen near side. Niles is run over from behind by Eric Yackel, but it's a good first down pickup in the red zone for the Mustangs. Down to the 7-yard line. Clock's going to go past 4 minutes here. Trips to the right side, Ponder in the backfield. They'll fake the handoff, slant route, well defended. Knocked away by Meyerson as he beat the offensive player to the spot that time at the goal line. And that'll bring up third down. I'd be curious if the Dogs get an incompletion here, third down and four. With the way they like to put points on the board, if they would go for it or settle for the tying field goal. Receiver to each side. Slot man Jurgensmeyer back into the game. Bulldog faithful trying to make some noise here for their defense. Solzma for a second time takes a peek at the sideline. Play clock down to one. He wasn't ready for the snap. Big rush. Eludes a tackler. Rushing to the sideline and just throws it to the chain gang. Incomplete. And now we'll get to see the decision making of Coach Ryan. And he will send the field goal unit onto the field.
Heck of a dodge by Solzma on DeVecchi there. I'm really impressed that he avoided the sack on that one. Kind of showed some quick reaction and footwork, but they'll try for the tie now, and Truman can have the last possession of the half if it executes.
Amundsen last year was 4 of 6 on field goal tries with a long of 39. This is a 24-yard field goal attempt, and they're going to fake it to the near side. Here's Niles to the goal line, touchdown. He does it in so many ways, a receiver, a returner, and as the holder, He popped out of his stance. It was a design play with blockers to the near side and a touchdown for Connor Niles to put the Mustangs on top 20-17.
Yeah, kind of caught sleeping at the wheel there. You mentioned it going into it. Six field goal attempts all of last year, so that's something you got to be ready for. And now they change holders, too.
That should have been a tip-off right there. Different holder intended to run the fake as Amundsen drains the extra point. 21-17. And we will return in 30 seconds for the kickoff.
Missed the game last night? Looking for the latest in Big K Sports? Then go to CentralMoInfo.com and click on Big K Sports located under the Sports tab. You'll find information on your favorite teams and schools, including stories about the games, players, and, of course, area scores, all brought to you by Farmers Insurance Jeff Freeman Agency of Moberly. See Farmers Insurance Jeff Freeman Agency at 210 North 4th Street in Moberly for your auto, home, and life insurance needs. Keep up with the latest in Big K Sports on CentralMoInfo.com, brought to you by Farmers Insurance Jeff Freeman Agency of Moberly.
They call it a 6-yard run by Connor Niles. And seemingly a first half, the Bulldogs have had the better of, and yet they trail by four with some key errors, gentlemen. The two muffs, and there got caught sleeping on the fake field goal attempt. Amundsen hits one of the up men with a kickoff, live ball, and gets out of bounds. A diving Mustang player nearly got to it at the 42-yard line. Truman football. That ricocheted off one of the up men and went 90-degree angle toward the sideline.
That might be overdoing your chip kicking a little bit there, but and obviously you didn't intend to hit the up back, but you don't want to just give Truman the football at the 42, but either way, puts Truman in good position.
Nick Verbeck, starting at center today, settles over the football, first down and 10. Plenty of time for the Bulldogs, 3:42 left. Salima motions out of the backfield. Barr looking to the near side through the hands of Ruffin. Over his back was the cornerback Xavier Spann.
Yeah, a lot of mustard on that one. Ruffin didn't really kind of get out of his break too well. It seemed like he got not necessarily flat-footed at the top of his route, but he just didn't come off it all that well, and the ball came on him a little quicker than he seemed to expect.
They graduated their top defensive player a year ago, Caden McDonald, an NAIA first-team All-American with 102 tackles. He's the player that picked off the first pass of the game and took it into the end zone against Truman last year. Salima stacked up and driven back. That'll be a tackle for loss for the Mustangs. So the Mustangs, after a lot of things not going right for them in the first half, are motivated with the lead, 21-17. Niklas Gustav led the charge. He is out of Germany, Hamburg, Germany. Three minutes to go. You're kind of in that interesting area for the Bulldog offense. If you can't convert, you're going to give Morningside time. Do you throw a pass or do you run it? Keep it on the ground. Barr will throw it. They're setting up the screen to Ruffin, and it was jumped by the Morningside defender over there and incomplete. Might have been Kotzer. Middle linebacker all over that tunnel screen, incomplete. And so that stops the clock, and that's what I was talking about. It stops the clock, works in the favor of the Morningside offense. With 2:49 left in their full complement of timeouts. And that man, Niles, back to receive this punt from Roller. Snap is good from Riley Hamill. Wobbler down the field, need a big bounce. And there it is, across the 20, across the 15, across the 10, 9, 8, maybe the 7. Well done, Brock Roller. That was big-time effort there. That's what you needed. Dr. John Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine Institute in Kirksville has served as the lead team physician for the Truman Bulldogs for nearly 20 years. When you want the best care possible, see Dr. John Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine Institute in Kirksville. Coming up at the half, we'll talk with Truman men's soccer coach Duke Cochran, his team with a victory and a tie last weekend. We'll play in Bolivar tomorrow. We'll also hear from the head of officials for the Great Lakes Valley Conference, Mike McCann. Play action pass, post route to Niles, another grab. Boy, he's dangerous. Woods draped all over him, and Niles still made the grab at the 33-yard line. When you give Solzma time, they get those receivers to the middle of the field on the post, and it's deep.
And that football is right where it needs to be. He's not just completing them, he's being accurate.
Now they settle short out route to Niles, and he will not go out of bounds. He curls it inside and picks up yards after the catch to the 48-yard line, 2:13 to play.
He throws an accurate football with some velocity on it. As advertised.
Can you imagine playing since fourth grade and you carry it over into college? There's got to be some symmetry there. Here is Solzma dropping to the pocket, floats it downfield, and it's incomplete. Siegel step for step with Juergensmeyer, nearly hauled it in anyway.
Truman would not like to see Salzma's 100th career touchdown pass on this drive.
No. Hank Jansen, a great throw and a better defensive play.
Another ball right on the mark, a subtle little shove with the left hand by the receiver, and an excellent job to rip that ball out of his hands by the defensive back.
Second down and 10 from the 48. And it's a read option for Morningside. We've seen Jaden Barr do good work with that play. And for the first time, Solzma takes it up the middle after faking the give. And takes it to the Truman 46-yard line. 1:33 and counting, first half, third down and four. Morningside won't use a timeout because if they don't get it, they want to leave the Bulldogs with time, although they would certainly consider going for it. 1:16, 1:15. One receiver, Niles, to the near side. Twin receivers to the right side. Ponder in the backfield. Third and four. Niles will scoot up toward the offensive line. They rub off of each other. Receivers near side. Solzma nearly sacked, then nearly got a first down. Neisler got enough of him. Or was it Bennett Swope who made the play for Truman? And they're going to mark him short. It was Neisler. Yep, the defensive tackle who had a fumble recovery. And Morningside right on the football. Fourth down and one. 44 seconds to play. They're going to try to go on the quick count. Now they'll back off. Look to the sideline. 38, 37 seconds to play. Truman, 43-yard line. Bulldog defense needs to rise up. 21, 17, Morningside. 26, 25. Play clock down to 6. Solzma will drop to throw it. Floats it down the field. Incomplete with 18.9 on the clock. Truman football at their own 43-yard line. So tip of the cap to the defense to stop that scoring opportunity.
And two timeouts. That the timing just did not seem right on that upfield shot.
Let's go down to Hank.
Well, they had the two wide receivers over there, one on the sideline, just a straight fly. The other guy coming in the slot and broke it off to the inside. I think he thought he might just be running both down the field, but nobody there, kind of thrown in between. A nice job by the Bulldog defense. When it certainly looked like plenty of time with timeouts to try and threaten or get down here, and a good job to shut them down and shut them off. Take a couple shots here, fellas, from the 42 with 19 seconds. Let her rip.
Here's a fake, a reverse rollout. Barr looking for the throwback on the wheel route. It is covered, so he just has to turf the football. They wanted Salima on the wheel route after he faked it to him, and it was good coverage over there by Kotzer.
Unfortunately, you now really only have one play to get into range in all likelihood if each play were to take 6 or 7 seconds left, knowing that you're trying to get up the field. So you want to get yourself into range here if you can.
Nesbitt said he would give Scheiderer a try from 50-plus if they needed to. This would be one of those situations. If you could get one completion, nothing to lose, let the kid trot out there and try for a home run. Barr straight back looking for the screen. Drops it off to Salima, and the Mustangs are there for a big loss. Back to the 36, and the Bulldogs will let this clock hit zero.
Yeah, his kick did look pretty good, by the way, his make. Yeah, that had a lot of leg on it, so that could be a weapon down the road that we'll keep an eye on.
Entertaining first half. And the visitors from Sioux City, Iowa, Morningside, third-ranked in the NAIA on top of Truman by a score of 21-17. Coming up, a visit with Duke Cochran, men's soccer coach, and also the head of officials for the GLVC, Mike McCann. But before we get to all that, we want to hear from the Bulldogs head coach Greg Nesbitt as Truman waits for Morningside to clear the area so they can get to the kennels and talk about some adjustments. Just a few costly errors, but that's the difference in the Mustangs having the better of it on the scoreboard. Bulldogs did some nice things, certainly a much crisper effort offensively in that first half. Hank Jansen standing by in the purple painted end zone with Truman in white waiting for the head coach, who's having a discussion with the head official. And now heads over to our man. And let's go down to the field.
Coach Nesbitt, interesting half. All stuff score could be a lot different. A couple mistakes. You're off.
Offense much improved. Defensively, we did good against a good offense. We dropped two punts that just set up scores to completely change the first half. And we'll get regrouped, and hopefully we can keep playing good football and get out here with a win.
Thought your defense did a good job. Their quarterback got rolling there late in the second half and got down here. The fake field goal, of course, was a big play. You take that and the two drop punts, this thing could be a lot different.
That's what the focus needs to be. The negative. Translate the win.
He certainly atoned for one of those mistakes with the kickoff return. Jude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a fantastic player, and he'll bounce back.
It's good luck.
All right. We appreciate Coach joining us. Apologize that some of it cuts out. We're having a hard time with that wireless in that part of the field. So appreciate Coach Nesbitt coming on with us here at the half going toward the locker room. Morningside 21, Truman 17. All right, our halftime show will begin in 1 minute. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
You enjoy the couch and TV, don't you? Who doesn't? But why waste the weekend inside when you could be enjoying so many great activities at the Randolph County Old Settlers? Starting September 13th through the 15th, come enjoy live music, parades, food and sale vendors, baby shows, kids' activities, and so much more. Salisbury Meat Market and Processing, LLC, Thomas Motors of Moberly, Kenmar Timber Company of Clifton Hill, and the Huntsville Community Club, and the Randolph County Old Settlers Reunion Committee hope to see you there.
What makes a top hip and knee replacement hospital? Low complication rates, high patient satisfaction scores, and low prices. Congratulations to the joint replacement physicians at Columbia Orthopedic Group for making Boone Hospital one of the top hip and knee surgery hospitals in America. The physicians of Columbia Orthopedic Group are national leaders right here in mid-Missouri. We're online at columbiaorthogroup.com and call for your appointment today at 573-443-2402.
Joining me at the half, Duke Cochran, the head coach of the Truman men's soccer team. One victory and a tie to start the season. The draw came against Lindenwood, coach, in your first matchup. Tell me how that one went.
The game was fairly even in the first half. I think we probably created more chances and just didn't put away all of our chances. It would end 1-1 at half, and they had a guy thrown out right before the halftime whistle. And second half, it was almost harder to play against their 10 men than their 11, for whatever reason.
And then you rally for a victory over Purdue Northwest on Sunday. Nice win there. Tell me about that comeback.
Well, after playing an overtime match in St. Louis and then having to travel back Saturday, so we had an away game, heavy legs for Sunday. Purdue is also traveling, but they played Thursday, and they're a very good side. They like to play quickly, and they can play. But it was great just to see the kind of the moxie and the grit in the team to fight for it to the end.
And then we found out early in the week that for the first time you have a player of the week in the Great Lakes Valley Conference, the offensive player of the week, Colin McDonough. Tell me about his play.
Well, I mean it's well-deserved. We had several guys on the weekend do very well, as well as the team, obviously. But Colin did what he did in 12 minutes. So, you know, to get an assist and a game-winning goal in 12 minutes as a freshman, that's quite a day. So it was very well-deserved among a day that our team did very well.
All right, St. Louis kid, a freshman forward for you. Does this team, have you received a boost from some youngsters that have come into the program?
Yeah, there's, we brought 10 in, and we've already played 4 in games. So Will Clayton out of St. Louis has been playing as a defender for us and starting. He's quite good. Obviously, Colin, as you know him, there's another guy, Max Sangle, who has stepped into the midfield and done some good stuff for us, and then an Irish kid named Andrew Brennan, who's got out there. And really, they've all just brought a really good attitude. Mentality is good. Work rate's very good. And, you know, the older guys had a good spring, so adding some fresh faces and positive attitudes has been really good.
Duke Cochran, in his 14th year as head coach of the men's soccer program at Truman. What about your upperclassmen? Who are your leaders on this year's team?
Well, the team selected as captains Austin Morgan, Michael Ruzica, and Jake Koenig. So those three will look to help lead the team, serve the team as much as we can, you know, remind guys that if you're seen as a leader, you also need to be a servant. So they've done a good job so far. And then we've got, all of our seniors. I believe we have 7 that could graduate this year. Just wanted to look at the roster to make sure. We have Trevor Kaufman, who's had some really good years for us already, so I expect him to help lead us from the front. Austin Morgan, one of our captains, should do quite well. Danny Alter is a defensive player that's come in and done well, had an assist in the Purdue game to help bring it back. Michael Ruzica, who's a captain, and we expect big minutes from him. And then let me see who the other guys were that were our Ben Rosenplatz, a redshirt senior that just can always help lighten the mood and just help keep kind of everybody happy. And then Sean Applebaum is an attacker that will probably come off the bench and just very physical and will help give us some minutes off the bench. I believe that's all. And Tristan Hasmer, I'm sorry, there's one more who's quite important. He's a very busy midfielder, can play box-to-box and does a lot for the team.
What area of improvement were you, as you headed into the off season, things that the guys needed to work on? What's been your focus coming into the season?
Well, we lost about 13 guys due to graduation and just eligibility. So in the spring, we had a smaller group of guys, so we really concentrated on getting that team just as together as we can. And then just work on attitude, you know, basic attitude and trying to control the things that we can control. And like I said, they had a good spring, and we've been able to add some very good talent to the mix.
Do you feel like you can move up the ladder of the Great Lakes Valley Conference?
You know, time will tell. You know, we're going to take it one game at a time.
And that schedule will take you to Bolivar on Sunday. Your next matchup is against Southwest Baptist non-conference game. What do you expect from the Bearcats?
They're always harder to play at their place. So, you know, I expect a good game, and, you know, you don't ever expect any team to lay down for you. So I expect us to go in there and try to manage some road points if possible.
Very good. Coach, thanks for coming on with us, and best of luck this season.
All right, thank you.
Duke Cochran, head coach of the Truman men's soccer team, my guest at the half. More coming up in just a moment.
Now that Jacob has finished high school, we're exploring our options, but we just haven't found the right fit yet.
Well, Hannah just finished her first year at Moberly Area Community College and loves it. Jake could knock out his general education classes or enroll in a career technical program at less than half the cost.
Oh, well, they do have a Columbia location on the business loop, and the Moberly campus is only a half hour away.
He could go to MACC for 2 years, then transfer to a four-year college, or get a work-ready certificate and go straight into a career.
Either way, MACC sounds like a smart start.
Cardiac rehabilitation at the Wellness Center at Samaritan Hospital is the solution for your heart. The Wellness Center is designed to optimize a cardiac patient's physical and social functioning. Patients at the Wellness Center are helped to safely reach and maintain their optimal level of activity. A doctor's referral is necessary for admission to the Wellness Center. Visit them online at smhmo.org.
When your vehicle has mechanical problems, call Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive in Kirksville at 660-665-8464. Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Auto's ASC certified mechanics use computer diagnostics to repair your car or truck. From major engine to transmission repairs, they'll fix it right the first time. And when you're ready to upgrade your new vehicle, go to Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive, located on West Potter in Kirksville, and select from their lot of quality pre-owned cars and trucks.
Let's visit with Mike McCann, the head of officials for the Great Lakes Valley Conference. I know this time last year you said that it kind of goes in two-year cycles where we see significant change, but do we really have a lot that's changing rules-wise?
We do not, which I think leads to the fact that the Rules Committee feels the game's in good shape. We've got a new rules editor that came in, and generally that leads to a lot of change, but we aren't seeing that. They've tweaked the block below the waist rule a little bit in that they've moved it from 10 yards downfield to 5 yards downfield. That's strictly a safety thing. I will say from an officiating supervisor, I like the change. It's going to be easier for us to officiate it. So that's good. And in an effort to speed up the game, and I don't know that we need to speed up the game in the Great Lakes Valley Conference or at the Division II level, but certainly at the Division I level they do, and they like to keep the rules consistent across the board. So following a kickoff, instead of there being a longer interval, the 40 second clock will start right away. So, which means after a kickoff, they're going to have 40 seconds to get their offense and defense on the field. And following a touchdown, the same thing will happen. So, I don't know. It's not going to speed our games up at all, to be honest with you. In fact, it might even slow them down because I think we were a whole lot quicker responding. But those, in essence, are the two rule changes. Still emphasis on player safety, keeping the helmet out of the game. You know, we put helmets on football players probably 60, 70 years ago. I don't know how long it's been, before my day. And it was designed to protect the player. It wasn't to be designed to be used as a weapon. And somewhere in there a few years ago, we started using that helmet as a weapon. And we're getting that back out of the game. Our coaches have done a fantastic job on targeting, and we feel real good about that.
Yeah, certainly. I can't remember if we saw maybe one or two in our games for the entire season, so it certainly cleaned up. What about the targeting rule and the enforcement of it at this level? Do you feel like you have a good grasp of it?
I think we have a wonderful grasp of it. We've got a nice review system. If we do make a targeting call in the first half, at halftime, we have the ability to go in the locker room and do a video review. And we can either stand with that call or we can take that call back and put that player back on the field, and we've done that. And then at the end of the game, if we have anything happen in the second half, we have the ability to send that play into the NCAA office. They'll take a look at it, and by Sunday night or Monday, we've got that reviewed, and they can vacate that call if they want to, and again, put that player back on the field. I like the system we have in place. I do, but as you said, we only had a half a dozen plays in the entire conference last season. And nationwide, I think there were only 60 plays or so that were sent into Indianapolis for review. So that's really good, too.
You mentioned safety a couple of times as we're visiting with Mike McCann. And the subject always comes up, the kickoff. Is it going away? Get out your crystal ball.
I think it was close this year. I think there was some serious discussion by the Rules Committee that maybe we would just do away with kickoffs. My crystal ball tells me we'll never do away with kickoffs. I think they will find ways to make it safer and they'll get the rules cleaned up and the rules in place. We have to have kickoffs. I don't know what – there's nothing more exciting at the end of the game than to have an onside kick possibly determine the outcome of a game, and I think it just has to be there somehow.
Anything else on the horizon that you see coming down the pike?
I think people ought to really pay attention to what's going on in the GLVC. This will be our seventh season, and it's amazing to me and really quite a thrill to see how much the game of football has improved in the GLVC. It started out last year when Indianapolis beat Grand Valley in the opening game of the season. That was a huge win for the Greyhounds, and I think it put GLVC football on the map. And I believe you'll see similar things like that happen this year.
Maybe fans would be interested where you get your pool of officials from to work Great Lakes Valley Conference games.
Well, you know, anymore, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. We hire, and geographically, I don't think we much care as long as our guys are willing to participate. But we'll bring them in from Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri. We have one fella from Kentucky. So, yeah, we get them from all over.
Last week I had assistant executive director from MISHA, our State High School Activities Association, come on to talk about recruiting officials, that there is a generation that will be aging out. What about at the collegiate level? Is there a concern about the pool of officials?
We're very concerned. We are very, very concerned. You know, we looked at going to eight-man crews in the GLVC, and we sort of held back because we weren't sure, in all honesty, that we could hire the quality of person that we needed to fill that slot. And, you know, I use the word person anymore because last year we had a lady on our staff. She's moved up to the Missouri Valley Conference, which is kudos to her. But, you know, I am concerned, and I know every high school, every state across the country is concerned about recruiting guys. And I understand, you know, these young guys coming up, I look at how when my wife and I, we had five children, how it was for me, and it's different for our kids who are now beginning to raise a family. I don't see any of my sons or son-in-laws being able to carve out any time in their schedule to officiate football or any other sport for that matter.
Right. Something to watch. Mike, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun today.
Okay. Mike McCanny's the head of officials for the Great Lakes Valley Conference.
Truman State University, located in Kirksville, Missouri, is consistently recognized as one of the nation's best colleges and universities. Most recently, the September-October issue of the Washington Monthly ranked Truman as the seventh best master's university in the nation. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine selected Truman as number 19 on their list of the 100 top values in public colleges. Call us at 800-892-7792 to set up your personal Truman State University visit.
We are back at halftime. 21-17 is the lead for Morningside against Truman State. Week 2 with Truman State set to receive to open the second half of this contest. A 21-17 deficit. And Cooper Weidenthaler with Truman State Athletics and Truman State Information kind enough to join us here at the half for the second consecutive week. So Truman, what's going on? Or Cooper, what's going on the Truman women's soccer front? They're off to a hot start.
Historically, a very good program is women's soccer, coached by Mike Cannon. He's been here a while, but they won yesterday to improve to 3-0. That's the first time they've won, not tied or lost, but first time they've won their first three matches in 10 years. They haven't given up a goal. They've won 2-0, 4-0, and 2-0. It's a freshman goalkeeper, Beth Hopwood. She won Player of the Week last week. Really good program, really good start. So they're going to be at Upper Iowa on Sunday trying to go 4-0 before even conference play even starts. So it's been fun to watch them so far.
That's kind of the best of both worlds when not only are you off to your best start in 10 years, but you're doing it with a freshman goalkeeper. So it's the future is also bright kind of deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Both men's and women's soccer, we talked about a little bit last week, had a lot of turnover, a lot of players graduated, but also big freshman classes. So a big starts for both of them as well.
And how about everything on the men's soccer, volleyball front, etc.?
So men's soccer is 1-0-1. They haven't played yet this week. They'll be at Southwest Baptist tomorrow. Historically, they've been very good against the Bearcats, so that should be a win, but we'll cross our fingers. Volleyball, 7-2. They lost at number 5 Lewis last night. That's the best team in the conference. It was a tough one for us. We got swept, but they're at Indianapolis right now. They just lost the first set, so a minor setback, but hopefully they can come back and beat the Greyhounds today. But yeah, volleyball 7-2. They've gotten votes in the top 25 2 weeks in a row. Likely, if they can win today and get a split for the week, they can still get some votes and stay in that conversation. But yeah, soccer's both great starts, and volleyball 7-2, looking to go 8-2 today at Indianapolis.
So an exciting start to the fall, and also a couple of long road trips coming up for some teams, including the football team.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to go some places. Luckily, the GLVC is kind of contained in one region, but we like to go to the GMAC and the GLIAC and try to stretch out a little bit. But I think it's good for the kids to get away from home a little bit and test that road ability. So.
And, Cooper, anything else you're looking forward to in the next couple of weeks besides a couple of football road games and women's soccer hopefully keeping on this good run?
Yeah, so next up, women's golf is going to start their fall season here in a little bit. They've got the Evangel Fall Invitational. That's Monday and Tuesday, September 17th and 18th. And then right after that, on September 21st, swimming will begin their schedule. They always begin with the alumni meet. That'll be Friday, September 21st. And then they've got an inter-squad meet that following Saturday. Their first competition will be the Mizzou Show Me Showdown in Columbia on October 5th. So that's when they'll get going. Cross country, they had the dog and cat meet with Lindenwood. That was their first competition. But next up, they'll have the Missouri Southern Stampede. That'll be a week from today. So those other fall sports are starting to get picked up and start really get going. So
Cooper Weidenthaler, Truman State Athletics, we appreciate your time again, and we'll talk to you at home in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait for you guys to be back.
Absolutely. And hopefully we get a good second half here. It's a tight one. Again, that is Cooper Weidenthaler. We'll be back with stats in just a moment on Kress.
We have a new physician at Columbia Orthopedic Group. Please welcome Dr. Tom Alito to our team. Dr. Alito is well known in mid-Missouri and specializes in joint replacement of the hip and knee. For an appointment with Dr. Alito or any one of our physicians, call us at 573-443-2402. You can also make an appointment online at our website, columbiaorthogroup.com. Columbia Orthopedic Group, we are the difference.
Do I qualify for wound healing treatment at Samaritan Hospital's Wound Healing Center?
If you are suffering from diabetic ulcers, infections, radiation injuries, or wounds that haven't healed within 30 days, you can call the Samaritan Hospital Wound Healing Center today for an evaluation. There's no referral needed. Call 660-395-8330. That's 660-395-8330, and let them help you heal. Samaritan Hospital in Macon. Community-focused, personalized service.
We are back for the second half, 21-17, the lead for Morningside at the break. Truman will receive. Let's run through some stats before we hand it to Brad Boyer for the second half. A bit of an oddity in this one in that Truman 12-9 in first downs, 80-51 in rushing, being outgained 183-85 in passing. But the oddity is that it's really just two muffed punts that set up Morningside for direct scores. And when I say direct, I mean literally on the next play, there was a touchdown. Also, there was a faked field goal for a touchdown as well in favor of Morningside. Jaden Barr, 14 for 24, 85 yards, one interception in the back of the end zone, the back of the opposition's end zone. Jaden Barr, 7 carries, 54 rushing. Dante Ruffin, 3 catches for 18 yards receiving. Josh Scheiderer connected with a 27-yard field goal. The record-setting passer on the other side, Trent Solzma. Well, all things considered, the Bulldogs have kept him in check. He's 11 for 20 with 183 yards and one touchdown. Truman, a remarkable 7 for 10 on third down. Guess what? Morningside, 0 for 7. 18-11 possession time for Truman to 11:49 for Morningside. It's 21-17, Morningside at the half. Truman to receive. The second half is next on KRES Moberly and CentralMoInfo.com.
While you're planning your budget for next year, don't forget the parking lot. Call Capital Paving now for a free estimate so you can plan the best use of next year's resources, and the quote they give you now will still be good in the spring. Whether you've got a parking lot, a municipal job, or a highway bridge, Capital Paving is your paving partner. From the driveway to the highway, get a great service on time and on budget. Visit CapitalMo.com to request your free estimate. Capital Paving is paving the best way forward. Now serving Brookfield and North Central Missouri.
Now more than ever, businesses are looking for employees who know how to collect, analyze, and interpret large amounts of data. They're often asking existing employees to acquire those skills to advance in their careers. Truman State University's Graduate Certificate in Data Science is a fully online accredited program that can help put you in the driver's seat when it comes to data analysis. Visit initiative.truman.edu/data for more information or call 660-785-5384.
A short kickoff handled at the 10 by Woods. He'll try to make up for his mistake, and he zips through a seam to the 35 to the 40. Picks up a block at midfield, turns on the burners. 20, 10, 5, touchdown Truman. A 90-yard answer for Lawrence Woods. After he gives 7 points on the muff punt, he takes it back to the house. Woods had an up-and-down first half. He had two muff punts, as Eric mentioned, but he also had that electrifying kickoff return for a touchdown. Bulldogs just eliminate a few mistakes. They'd certainly be well in control of this game. Keep in mind, this is a Morningside team that has won 18 straight regular season games. Forget about the whole NAIA level stuff. This is a really good program that would be very competitive at the Division II level as well. Your top NAIA programs, it's just the difference in name, NAIA Division II. Some of these programs like St. Francis of Indiana and Carroll, Montana, and even some of the high-level Heart of America teams we've seen over the years on a given Saturday play pretty well with some of these Division II programs. So this is a big game for Truman to try to get back on track after a tough opener, and Morningside trying to compete against a Division II program to help them along the way and at the same time not stumble, take a loss, and fall backward in the NAIA rankings, hoping to have home field advantage in the playoffs. Jalen Jefferson is back to receive the kick along with Lawrence Woods. After that opening kickoff, Morningside has stayed away from the deep guys, and they will again. Up guy, 21-yard line. That's Morris, the fullback, 33 to the 35-yard line. So Morningside has given up some field position to avoid kicking it deep. A lot of good things we saw in the first half, Eric, from the Bulldog offense as compared to week one.
Yeah, a lot of good quick hitters from Jaden Barr, short completions, getting to a rhythm, and also the zone read game really working again.
No question about it. The offensive line has been better here today as they head out there. Nick Verbeck switching from tackle to center, gets over the football. Nob Chetri starting at his spot, right tackle. Jacob Lewis, former Crest All-Star from Centralia at the left guard spot. Check it, right guard spot. Here's the handoff to Salima. Good surge right off the bat by that Bulldog front five. Salima barely any resistance. Is he able to plow ahead for seven? Jacob Van Doren, Geneseo, Illinois, is the left tackle for the Dogs. And Connor Borsinko is the guard. Jaden Barr from California High School, the California Pintos. A Heisman State, Wendy's Heisman State winner when he was in high school. Multi-sport athlete, multi-all-state. He has football, variety of positions. D-back, punter, quarterback. Here's a rollout. Barr scrambling to the near side. Now lets it fly last second and incomplete near boundary. Intended for Colby Roundtree.
That would have been a pretty impossible catch. I think that kind of just a glorified throwaway, but Roundtree did have his first catch in the first half, kind of off the hands, off the knee pad, into the chest as he towed the sideline play.
So the Bulldogs will try to pick up this third down from their 41-yard line, down 21-17. Next week we'll be in Michigan. Long road trips the next 2 weeks, Saginaw Valley and Valparaiso. Motion man, Dante Ruffin, left to right. Sets up two receivers to the near side. From the pistol, Barr will throw, and it's knocked away, and here comes a flag. The defensive back ran over the back of Dante Ruffin.
Yeah, I think they're saying Joel Kotzer might have been a bit early on that one.
Had a pass interference in the first half. And there's a PI. We'll mark off 15 yards, first down into Morningside territory. Bulldogs have had the better of it here today in the penalty department, as they were very good last year. They were third in all of Division II football, averages 31 yards a penalty. Actually, they just marked off five.
Yeah, it's not too often that it happens, but being a spot foul, you don't really see five-yard throws called for PI, but Kotzer went right over the top of the neck on that
46-yard line. Here is the handoff to Salima. Gets the pads as low as he can and picks up three. I visited with, we had, Eric, you noticed too, it's a gentleman from the Big Ten who is here observing the officiating crew. So I went over just to confirm, and indeed that is the case. At halftime on a targeting rule, they can look at the video, and if they determine that it was not targeting, then the player can re-enter the football game. If they determine the correct call was made, then he is ejected. Zach Skabinski was ejected on a targeting call, which came on a hit on the quarterback. Second down and seven. Here's a handoff. No, it's Barr on the keeper. As he pulled away from Salima, scrambled opposite, and was able to cut it up across midfield to the Morningside 48-yard line, sets up another third down and four on this drive. So unless we see Skabinski back in there, we will know that by video the officials were satisfied with the targeting call that was made. They stack three receivers near the line of scrimmage for this third down and four. Morningside tucks up a backer. Now he'll drop back as they were showing blitz. Now here they come on the blitz right up the middle. Barr scrambling in trouble and is going to be sacked at the 42-yard line. Jacob Kotzer got to Barr.
Bailed out his brother, his twin, for the pass interference.
So two bad results. One, the Bulldogs have to punt, give up the football, and two, they have to punt it to Connor Niles. Roller will try to pin this deep, that Niles won't go after it. He is a threat. Well, now he's going to angle it away from him. That's another way to play it, and a well placed by Roller. It angled, plus it took an extra kick, so out at the 16-yard line. So we'll see if the Bulldogs can play field position and get a stop.
That's the good old net yardage right there. He might have sacrificed 5 yards of distance, but he kicked it to where there was no return possible for one of the nation's best.
It's Military Appreciation Day here at Stoke Stadium. Bulldogs have the flag on the side of their helmet. First down and 10. Solzman drops to throw it. Drops it off on a screen to Ponder. And with a little bit of space to work with, picks up 5 yards on first down. Lawrence Woods was there to contain. 11:43 and counting here in the third quarter. Anybody's ball game. Solzma will fake it, looking over the middle, now down the sideline for Niles. Very good coverage that time by Woods.
Yeah, step for step up the near sideline. Again, though, not much of a pass rush yet today for the Bulldogs. Reeves was coming in from the near side defensive end, but he didn't get all that close.
Morningside's offensive line is experienced, but it's not large. They average 274 pounds up front. They do not have a 300-pounder on their starting five. They have three returners from the national semifinal team of a year ago. Stack three receivers to the one side, one to the near side. Here comes a blitz. Throwing on the post route, wide open, middle of the field. Juergensmeyer for a first down. Tackled from behind by DeAnthony Knight at the 39-yard line. Pickup of 18 yards. They work the middle of that field all day long. And you're right. Solzma has a good throwing lane. Not getting pressure. Ponder has not had a lot of space to run today. Bulldog run defense has been stingy. DeVecchi was over there. A.J. DeVecchi. He's on the team with his brother Alec DeVecchi. Out of the Bloomington Normal area. Home of Illinois State. Second down and seven. 42-yard line. Fake it. Solzma now will drop it off to Ponder, who had faked to. Ponder's tackled ahead by a Bulldog in retreat. Neisler. And it's going to be a first down. They give Ponder the 49-yard line.
That was a unique screen. They let the pass rush through as is typical, but then they kind of threw that to the backside of the play, but Truman still stayed home for the most part.
First down. Handed off. New running back. No, that's Ponder again, and he's jarred backward by Reed McBroom. The Brookfield Bulldog with a good one-on-one stick. They'll give Ponder forward progress and 1 yard to midfield, but McBroom made the play. Now he'll exit, and Jake Hayes in.
All the anger of his alma mater losing three straight Bell games went right into that tackle.
We had the appropriately named Matthew Bell from Marceline as a linebacker for the Bulldogs a few years, and now we go to the other side of the Linn County rivalry, and Reed McBroom is in, middle linebacker from Brookfield. Play-action pass on second down, and a deep ball. One-on-one coverage near side, and Knight step for step with the intended receiver that time, Drake Martinez out of California. Speed of California, we mentioned on Hank's segment, the pregame show. It was on this date in 2007, Matt Tissage set the passing record, 493 yards for Truman, and total offense, 516. And he was out of Temecula, California. Play. Third down and nine. Bulldog defense trying to get off the field. Four-man rush on Solzma. Throws it on a hitch route to Niles, and it's tackled for a short gain. Jake Hayes with a good one-on-one open field stop at the 46-yard line. We'll bring up fourth down and five. Morningside thinking about it, leading by four. And they're going to go for it. They're going to go for it. Big play early in the third quarter, 9 minutes left. Bulldog corners come up to play press coverage. Don't want to give up any cushion. Long count, down to eight on the play clock. Pooch punt, and well done by Solzma. 15, 10, and down to inside the 10-yard line.
The second you knew it was a pooch punt was when Solzma took a couple of steps back and Ponder stepped up. So there was no longer the appropriate gap in spacing between quarterback and running back. But, Hank, you're ready to chime in?
Go ahead, Hank. We got you. Hey, Hank.
You're not hearing me.
Now I got you.
I was going to talk about that day of Matt Tittich, but I couldn't put my finger on the receivers in our pregame. Of Vanessa Mockpie caught seven for 170 and two scores that day. Albert Coker caught a half dozen. Kendrick Blue, different receivers, caught passes 11 on that day.
All right, against Upper Iowa. We also, as a running play for the Bulldogs, picks up three. We've got you. He was out of Mount San Jacinto College, was the college he transferred in from out of California.
And I said, yeah, in the pregame, he was a three-year player, started for 3 years, 06-07, out of that junior college.
All right. We're going to have to find a different spot over there. We're having a little interference. It is second down, and it is an option play. Bar on the keeper, tackle. That's going to be a loss of 2 yards back at the 10-yard line. Well, the Bulldogs don't want to get stopped here. Give Morningside field position. I tell you what, you think about Truman's defense today. I mean, their two touchdowns off muffs came from the red zone. And then the other, they got the stop, forced a field goal try, and it was fake for a score. Other than that, the defense has been really good today. Third down and 8. Barr looking to throw it. Lots of time. Protection held. Now Barr scrambling to the near side, and he throws it away. And so the Bulldogs are going to have to give it up from deep in their own territory with 7:17 to play in the third quarter, trailing by 4.
Another pretty encouraging crowd, by the way, for what was a really damp week in Crest Country, but it filled out pretty well here on Military Appreciation Day.
Bulldogs will be away from Stoke Stadium for a couple of weeks until their conference opener, and that'll be the last night game of the season. Lincoln will be here the final Saturday of September. Blue Tigers lost at Missouri State on a Thursday morning as Niles makes a fair catch at the 49-yard line of Morningside. They thought storms were going to be a part of the Springfield weather picture Thursday night, so they moved a night game in Springfield up to an 11 o'clock kickoff. And Lincoln got off to a good start, scoring 10 early points, and then fell to the Bears. I think it was 52-24 or something like that.
Jerry Wolmering, the athletic director here at Truman, was joking pregame about how he had heard the players were running to the field and the kids were going the other direction to class, saying, good luck, good
That's
luck.
That's right. They didn't have any parking because all the students were there for the school day.
I won't be there, but good luck.
Class is in session. I think they called the attendance a little over 1,000. First down and 10. And Ponder's hemmed in. They have not had a running game today, save the one muff punt, then the handoff to Ponder. He scooted in from 18. Other than that, he has had limited yardage, and he's down on the field. And it's an injury timeout. We'll take it as well. We're back to Stokes right after this.
When you have an accident or an injury, you want the best care possible. Dr. John Bailey in Kirksville has many years of experience in general orthopedic care and sports medicine. Dr. Bailey has served as the leading team physician for the Truman Bulldogs for nearly 20 years and has been inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. Take the first step to recovery by setting up an appointment with Dr. Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine in Kirksville at 660-665-0950.
Injury timeout brought to you by Dr. John Bailey in Kirksville. Has served as the lead team physician for the Truman Bulldogs for nearly 20 years. See Dr. John Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine Institute. Second down pass play, tunnel screen. Bulldogs whack down the receiver, Stratman, that time for a gain of just 2. They were waiting for him. Ryan Edwards led the charge for the Bulldogs. Edwards, two-time All-GLVC defender. Second team All-Conference 2 years ago on the conference championship team. Honorable mention last year. He had 11 total tackles against Morningside in Sioux City last year. Third down and 7. Solzma drops to throw. Here comes the blitz. Deep ball one-on-one down the sideline. Niles has got it, and he scoots into the end zone. 48 yards. The childhood buddies hook up. Trent Solzma to Connor Niles. And the Mustangs are up 10 with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter.
That's another dime, just dropping it right in there. Such good accuracy. And again, not much of a pass rush, a continued issue this afternoon.
And Amundsen will come on to attempt the extra point. Second year in a row that Niles is burning the Bulldogs with big plays. The extra point good. 28-17. Kickoff coming your way in 30 seconds on KRES Moberly and CentralMoInfo.com.
Where else do steak and peanut lovers go without having to clean up the mess? Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville, naturally. Nothing like perusing the menu and munching on our endless bucket of peanuts. Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville has something for everyone. USDA choice juicy steaks, fresh seafood, tender chicken, fall-off-the-bone ribs, fresh ground burgers, and crispy salads. Come on in to Colton Steakhouse and Grill for the best steak west of the Mississippi. We're located on Highway 63 at the south end of Kirksville.
That is the 100th career touchdown pass for Trent Soulsma. He is second if you were comparing him to NCAA quarterbacks. The top quarterback for touchdown passes in the NCAA active right now is from Grand Valley State, who the Bulldogs have played, Bart Williams, 107 touchdown passes for the Lakers. He was here on a homecoming Saturday. Truman fans got to see him last year. The Bulldogs have played in Allendale, Michigan. And Soulsma with his 100th TD pass. Kick along the ground, fielded at the 10 by Jalen Jefferson, the former St. Louis area running back. Able to return the football to the 39-yard line.
I guess it's fitting that his 100th goes to his buddy Niles, who has seven catches for 149 yards. And there's a flag behind that play, by the way.
Bulldogs actually flag on Truman on the return. Niles in the game last year only had two catches for 2 yards, but he had a huge 80-yard punt return. Might have been the play of the game right before halftime. He has scored on a fake field goal as he snuck in as the holder. And on that deep ball against the Truman blitz, he beat one-on-one coverage on the far sideline. Penalty back to the 14-yard line, and Truman's kind of in that danger area right now, down 11 and backed up with the penalty at their own 14-yard line with 5:52 to play in the third. Truman needs a big play. Roundtree in motion. They'll option opposite of the motion man, and Barr cuts it up, and he may provide a big play across the 30 to the 34, 35-yard line. The wheels of Jaden Barr on the option. Twice they've run that play, and twice Barr has kept it for a first down. They're going to mark his knee down back at the 32-yard line, a gain of 18 yards. Where's Barr in the rushing category today? Eric will check that out.
64 yards on 11 carries.
64 yards, 11 carries. Here's Barr. This time we'll give it. And Salima with a good push up front. The five offensive linemen working as a bulldozer there as Salima followed them right up the field to the 40-yard line. Pickup of 8. The Bulldogs last year against Morningside had their season high total of offense, 442 yards, and their season high in passing yards, 294. Barr hands it off to Salima, and nothing doing this time. Let's go down to the field and hang.
And a lot of that yardage throwing last year was, we talked about Jorgensen, but a lot of it was over the middle, down 15, 20 yards downfield, and the Dogs do not seem to be able to attack the middle with the pass this year, and I don't know what, but they had a ton of success with it last year.
Third and 2, got to have this conversion from the 40-yard line, down by 11, backs on either side of Barr. Barr will keep it, pulls it away, and scoots ahead for a first down and more across midfield to the Morningside 47-yard line. Span makes the tackle, but again, Jaden Barr works as the magician that time as he shows Salima the football, and at that mesh point pulls it away and scoots to first down yardage to the 47.
This is shaping up to be a big drive here. Any kind of score would make this a one-possession game.
Lights have been on throughout the entire game on this Saturday afternoon. Started out with rain, now no rain, but a cloudy, overcast afternoon. First down, Barr, option play, and he keeps it. And he's got the 40 down to the 39-yard line, a pickup of 8. So he is headed toward a 100-yard rushing game.
8 yards, second down two.
We know Barr's fast, and he's showing it today. He's got some good wheels as Satula runs in the play here for the Bulldogs. And Salima exits.
Offensive line doing a good job on this drive. Ruffin to the left side. Roundtree and Nichols to the wide side of the field. Barr will hand it off this time to Satula. Sidesteps a tackler initially, but then two more waiting for him. Joel Kotzer made the stop. He was third on the team in tackles last year.
A loss of 1 yard, third down and three.
William Penn, with their ground-oriented option attack, ran for 285 yards against Morningside. Only threw for 80. That's not their deal. Third down and two. Stack the trips along the rail, right side of the formation. Barr will drop to throw it. Now shoots up the middle. First down and more. 35 gets down at the 32 to avoid a big hit. Barr picked his spot nicely that time and scrambles ahead for a first down. So Barr personally, with his legs, has converted three first downs on this drive, which is at the Morningside 32.
Third down's an area Truman's really succeeded from jump today. The even just 7 for 10 at halftime. So it's been a remarkable improvement after last week's struggles.
1:40 to play, third quarter, first down. The fullback is near the wingback spot this time. Handed off to Satula, and he snowed under. Picks up a yard. Bulldogs feature Salima, who had 1,111 yards rushing, third in the conference last year, and had the most carries of anybody. Malik Robbins, we have not seen him run the football yet today. Satula's gotten some totes. Jalen Jefferson, we've seen in the kick return game, and they are very high on a true freshman from Lutheran South High School in St. Louis, Cody Schroeder. Second down and nine. Again, the fullback is at that wingback spot with a single back next to Barr. Fake it to Satula. Barr throw it over the middle. Brass Woods, the tall receiver down around the five, couldn't haul it in. Couldn't tell. I mean, it looked like he had a chance at it. Didn't look like that was too bad a ball. Didn't look like Woods really could locate it.
A little bit of contact on the play as well, but nothing too severe. Mass personnel changes here for this third and long.
Brass Woods, man, is a target at 6'5". You'd love to see him down around this area make a play over a smaller D-back. Empty formation, 2x3, as Barr gets set to take the shotgun snap from Verbeek. Third and nine, over the middle, intercepted. Free safety waiting for that one. Picks it out of the air to the 30 on the return to the 40. To midfield, still with blocking across the 40. Tackled at the 37-yard line. Intercepted by Deion Claiborne. Another hometown kid out of Sioux City makes the interception, second of the day for the Mustangs, Hank.
Five receivers, gentlemen, two left, three right. Didn't look at anybody else. Looked at that all the way, telegraphed it. Easy play for the safety sitting there, just slid right.
So the Bulldogs will have to stiffen up. 37 seconds to play in the third quarter, down 11. If the Mustangs get a touchdown, it'll be tough. Trips to the near side. Let's see if Mustangs want to go for a home run after the turnover. Nope, they go with the read and Solzma up the middle. Picks up four.
A very long, presumably words of encouraging kind of chat there on the sideline with Barr after his latest interception. And we see the spark that he is providing this offense with those third down conversions on the ground. But he's just got to start making better decisions. You're in on the edge of field goal range there, and if not, maybe you go for it. But you can't force those throws in that spot.
Second and seven. Solzma being chased. And he goes down. Sam Reeves has got a sack.
There's the pass rush.
Sam Reeves with his 23rd career sack. Came in tied for fourth all time with Tim Gildehaus, and Pete Grathwall continues to climb the charts, and we're through three. Morningside leads Truman 28-17. Back for the fourth quarter in 1 minute on Crest and CentralMoInfo.com.
Now that Jacob has finished high school, we're exploring our options, but we just haven't found the right fit yet.
Well, Hannah just finished her first year at Moberly Area Community College and loves it. Jake could knock out his general education classes or enroll in a career technical program at less than half the cost.
Oh, well, they do have a Columbia location on the business loop, and the Moberly campus is only a half hour away.
He could go to MACC for 2 years, then transfer to a four-year college, or get a work-ready certificate and go straight into a career.
Either way, MACC sounds like a smart start.
While you're planning your budget for next year, don't forget the parking lot. Call Capital Paving now for a free estimate so you can plan the best use of next year's resources, and the quote they give you now will still be good in the spring. Whether you've got a parking lot, a municipal job, or a highway bridge, Capital Paving is your paving partner. From the driveway to the highway, get a great service on time and on budget. Visit CapitalMo.com to request your free estimate. Capital Paving is paving the best way forward. Now serving Brookfield and North Central Missouri.
Out to Stratman on third down and 18. Mustangs pick up a half of what they needed and will probably now go ahead and go for it. Outside field goal range and too short to punt. Solzman, the Mustangs, will go for it. Fourth down and 9 from the Truman 37-yard line. Got to have a stop. Solzma drops to throw it. Over the middle. Knocked away. That was well defended. J.D. Hurd. Number 4 on number 4 as he got around Connor Niles. And got a pass deflection to the turf. And the Mustangs will turn it over to the Bulldogs on downs.
Usually you should be nervous when your opponent wants to go for it. But there, 4th and about 9 at the 37, that's a good spot for Truman to actually want its opponent to go for it. And I say that seriously because being down by 11 and fourth and long, I think you just have to trust your defense there and hope that you'll get the good field position, and that's what happened.
Jordan Salima back into the lineup. Pistol formation, two tight end set. First down and 10. Barr fakes a play action pass, dropping straight back. Now scrambling for his life. And we'll throw it toward the sideline. Tight end tried to make a sliding grab and took out the official. Incomplete.
Barr's thrown really well on the run on several occasions today, but it seems like in the second half, him being on the run and throwing it away is becoming a little bit too much of a trend. He's now 14 for 29 for 85 yards, which is about 3 yards per attempt, which is a really, really low number. You want to be at about 6 minimum. And I think a lot of that is because of throwaways.
Second and 10. Two backs in the backfield now. And a fake and drops it off to Satul out of the backfield. Breaks a tackle. Got a first down across midfield. First down. I like the play call. They ran that to Morris a couple of times, a fullback last week. This time they got Satula out in open space, and he made a play, broke a tackle, and to the Mustang 45-yard line. Backs bracket Barr in the backfield. Twin receivers to the right. Barr, a high snap, just have to fall on the football.
We talked about it in the first quarter, and it's been an issue all day. That's got to be the 15th, 20th time he's left his feet for a snap today.
That's something as a QB you don't even want to think about. You want to be thinking about the execution of the play.
Yeah, your eyes are down, not up.
And if you all of a sudden have to focus on which trajectory, where the snap's going to end up, that takes that mental focus away. Second down and 12. Barr hands it off this time to Salima, and he spins a tackler ahead for another extra yard or two, so pick up a 4.
And beyond where your eyes are looking, that's the first and foremost concern. But also, you now just lost a down when you're in pretty need-to-score territory. Not yet must-score territory, but we're getting close to that.
Jordan Salima came into the game with 1,845 career yards, 15th on the Truman rushing list. Most recently passed Corega Scott, who was running back for the Bulldogs in the mid-90s. Third down and 8. Barr, quick trigger to his big tight end, knocked away from behind. He wanted C.J. Brown and was punched away from behind.
Yeah, I would have liked to see the angle from the end zone of that. It looked like there was, by no means was that a drop, but it looked like there was an opportunity to make a contested catch that Brown was just unable to come up with.
So the Bulldogs bring out the punt unit. Certainly would be an area of the field you would think about. A fake down by 11. Instead, the snap is back. Points down as Roller boots it away. It hits at the 6, and it goes into the end zone as Woods had the feet go out from under him.
What a tough day in the punt game. It's amazing, those plays at the goal line. They seem so innocent and insignificant, but yet the difference between Morningside on its 1 and on its 20 is just so big, especially for a team that plays its style. Now they can go open, and they don't have to worry about, you know, a first down rush just to get out of their own shadow.
Cardinals coming up this afternoon on Crest after our game, shortly after, 4:35 pregame start from Detroit. And Mizzou on Kirk today at 4 o'clock. Solzma going to be sacked, so that's back-to-back possessions where the Bulldogs have gotten a sack. And that was Swope, Bennett Swope.
Yeah, Reeves went up high and Swope went down low. They kind of tag-team crushed him there.
The Swope brothers are on this team. He's out of Liberty, Kansas City. Sam Reeves might get half a sack on that play. He was coming from his end spot as well as they met at the quarterback. Reverse rollout and a dump off behind the intended receiver.
Reeves got another lick on Solzma there and helped him up as he was in pursuit on that screen.
That's 21, which is listed to Stratman. They've got all sorts of number issues on the roster. There's several players we're not really sure we've identified correctly. Kevin White's head was spinning trying to figure out some of these roster numbers and names. It's third down and 15. Straight back to pass is Solzma. Got the protection this time, and he's got a receiver as Niles plucks it out of the air in the middle of the defense for a first down, big gainer to the 46-yard line.
Third and 15, backed up at your own 15. That's a painful one given the time and score right now.
An All-American, Connor Niles from a year ago. 17 touchdowns, 96 catches, 1,449 yards receiving, off to a big start this year. He had 190 last week. And he's having a big day here today. Handed off to the running back. Down he goes, two-yard gain, as Siegel comes up hard to make the stop.
A really good low hit there.
Anthony Sims, a running back out of Fort Lauderdale. Inside of 11 minutes to play. Morningside up 28-17. They have the only touchdown of the second half.
The wave has broken out.
Play action pass. Throw it over the middle for Niles. He's got it again. He is working over the Bulldogs today. Knight made the tackle at the 25-yard line. Niles is hurt. And they're going to, it's a cramp. As one of his line mates comes and immediately lifts his leg up. if that's anything but a cramp, we're talking about somebody getting sued out there.
Yeah. And forgive our chuckles, but what I love about that is the lineman just being like, this is our team right here.
Yeah, man, we got to get him well. So it's a cramp.
I've never seen that before. I've honestly never seen that on a football field.
Yeah, I'm not waiting for the trainers to get out there. I'm going to work this out myself.
This leg is at stake.
Well, he is a big part of the offense.
No, for sure, for sure.
Add up his numbers after that catch. Certainly over 100 today.
He was already at 207. Yeah, so 207 and then add that on.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's a six-yard rush touchdown on top of that.
Yeah. So he's over 400 yards receiving the first two games of the season. Timeout taken by Morningside. Two big catches by Niles. Has taken up a chunk of the field down to the 25-yard line. A timeout. We'll return in 1 minute on CrescentCentralMoInfo.com.
Up early or out late, stop by Pancake City in Kirksville and get yourself something to eat. From the famous pancakes to a biscuit and gravy special, a sandwich for lunch, and maybe a steak for dinner. Pancake City has almost anything you could want, including appetizers and dessert. Sign up for Pancake City's a frequent diner program and start earning points for free or discounted menu items. It's easy and can only save you money in today's economy. Pancake City, where the slogan is, where breakfast and a whole lot more.
Where do steak lovers go for aged USDA choice, hand-cut, melt-in-your-mouth tender steaks? Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville, of course. Colton Steakhouse and Grill isn't just a steakhouse. With their fresh seafood, tender chicken, fall-off-the-bone ribs, juicy burgers, homemade yeast rolls, and crisp salads, they have something for everyone. They're known for the best steaks west of the Mississippi, so come on in and see for yourself at Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville. They know what's at stake.
Brad Boyer, Eric Duick, Hank Jansen with you on the broadcast from Stoke Stadium. Third-ranked Morningside of the NAIA on top of Truman, 28-17, and with the football at the Bulldog 25. Solzma will pass it, tipped into the air, and nearly intercepted. I believe it was Edwards who batted the ball high into the air, but a Bulldog couldn't settle under it. They said DeVecchi gets credit for the deflection. So that'll bring up second down. Empty formation. Solzma to throw it over the middle. Got his receiver 15 down to the 11-yard line. He threw that thing while he was still backing up. Just a flick of the wrist. And found Bo Ells, a junior out of Erie, Colorado, for a first down at the 11-yard line. Got to try to find a way to make it a field goal.
First down.
At a minimum, you can't allow a touchdown here. Solzma will throw on first down. They set up the screen with blockers, and walking into the end zone is Jared Myers, fullback. Touchdown, Mustangs, 11 yards with 9:37 to play. Perfect time for the screen. There was one Bulldog defender against three blockers and the receiver. Jared Myers was a backup quarterback last year and now a fullback. And the extra point attempt by Amundsen, good. 35-17, Morningside. Back for the kickoff in 30 seconds.
Jen, I got Phil on the line, and he needs the entire Millbrook account emailed to him. Stat.
Sure.
Well, get on it. He needs...
He already has it.
If he already had the files, he wouldn't be on the phone telling me...
Thanks, tell Jen I owe her.
Wait, what? You have it?
Yep, gotta run.
I'm not even gonna ask how you did that.
With speeds so fast, you'll think your employees are using telepathy. Help your business take a step forward with Sheraton Valley's advanced solutions. Get a free quote for your business at cvalley.net. Sheraton Valley, we mean business.
Well, a couple of big receptions by Connor Niles. Got that drive rolling. Capped off by a screen pass from Trent Solzman to Jared Myers. Solzma had five touchdown passes in week number one, and he's got three more here today.
That was a tough drive. It very well could have started on the one-yard line. Instead, it was a touchback. Converted third and 15. Niles just really got in a rhythm.
And here comes Jefferson, angling from left to right and taken down at the 29-yard line. Lawrence Woods, after the 90-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, hasn't had a touch on a kickoff.
Above all else, Truman just needs some rhythm offensively right now. If you think about it, with the Siegel touchdown on a pick six a week ago, the Woods return touchdown, Truman just has one offensive touchdown right now. So they got to find something. And they've been in the red zone a handful of times, but turnovers and just miscues. So got to get some form of rhythm before you hit the road.
To Saginaw, Michigan next Saturday. Barr again scrambling and thrown to the sideline, knocked away.
That's what we said last series, too, just being forced to throw on the run. And in many cases, no option is opening up, so it's becoming a throwaway.
Got to keep that rush from coming right up the middle, man. It's just too often the pass play ends up with a scramble to the boundary and very little chance at a completion. And these situations are tough for Truman. Not an offense, not a throw it on every down offense. Here's Barr scrambling, this time effectively to the outside. And where'd he go out? Far side. Put him out at the 34, gain of 5. 9:16 left in this one. Mizzou will play Wyoming, 6 o'clock kick in Columbia. We'll have it for you on 99.9 FM Kirk, starting with pregame coverage at 4. Cardinals coming up shortly after this one, 4:35 on Crest. Third down and 5. Barr looking near side, got an open receiver, caught. First down, first collegiate catch for Spencer Newell. Out of Joplin. A lot of cushion given by the Mustangs as they want the Bulldogs to use a whole bunch of time here. That was almost a freebie. .837 and counting. Two receivers to the right side, two tight end formation, two backs in the backfield. Barr will fake it, drops back, pulls up, reverses field. Now throws it downfield and knocked away by Spann, and here comes a flag. They said he hooked the tight end, C.J. Brown, getting around that time to deflect the pass away. Third time that Morningside's been flagged for pass interference. And mark it off to the 43.
Gives the Bulldogs a first down at the 43-yard line.
Monty Sharp is coming into the game for the Bulldogs. I believe this is his first game action out of Edwardsville, Illinois, a receiver. Barr fakes it, drops back. Plenty of time to throw this time. Now the rush comes. No one opens. So Barr again heading toward the sideline and just has to flip it out of bounds.
Barr's pass incomplete.
Lineman down for the Bulldogs.
Yes, just saw that. Is that Verbeck, the center? No, it is Van Doren, and he is a young man who's come back from an ACL injury. He's got a big brace on his left knee, so let's hope that's not re-aggravated. In fact, he's got braces on both knees. He is up and walking on his own power. Hank, what you got?
Just an all-too-familiar snap of the ball, fellas. I guess guy can't get open. You know, you had time there, and it's just and see if you can make something happen. And I don't know. You know, sometimes you think step up in that pocket and try and buy a little extra time and let somebody get open. But Mustangs with good coverage in the secondary, I guess. Bulldog receivers just can't get open and cannot click and bar.
All right.
Tanner Hageman out of Fenton, the new man in.
Started all 11 games for the Bulldogs last year. Again, time initially to throw and no one open. Now just flings it towards C.J. Brown, but well out of bounds. So you've got an issue now with receivers getting space and getting open, or at least Barr's having a hard time finding them, because we've seen some pass opportunities, as Hank mentioned, where there's some initial time and no one open to throw to. Woods. Far side, couple of receivers in the slot. They go empty. Two by three across the formation, left to right. Now Barr throws a deep ball intended for Ruffin, and Spann has got him blanketed, and they call a foul on that one. Looks like another pass interference call.
Yeah, they were kind of running side by side, and we don't have the best angle. That one was certainly a lot more minor than some of the others, but Truman could use that now. Like we said, keeps the drive alive, just needs some kind of a rhythm. I don't know. That ball wasn't being caught no matter what on that play, but either way, the call goes in Truman's favor, and they got to try to capitalize.
So Markoff 15 more to the 28-yard line. So 30 of the yards on this drive on pass interference calls. Again, empty. And Barr to throw. Four-man rush. They get through. Barr scrambling near side, thrown against his body, out of bounds.
I'm really curious to see what comes of the field evaluation this week, because last week it was clear that the line had its troubles, but that so did Barr, as Coach Nesbitt was open about. Today, the line has again had its troubles. Barr's constantly been on the move, but even with that being said, there have also been two throws that you just can't have. So something's got to meet in the middle as far as minimizing both of those areas right now. So still a lot to fix, and hopefully these next 7:47 can bring some light before that trip to Saginaw.
And getting open downfield. Second and 10, Barr. Again, looking no one open. Just has to fling it into the Morningside bench.
And you're right, wide receiver separation
just not
has
happening.
Clearly been a major issue in this half, particularly one play that stood out was one of the several earlier rollouts he was going to his right. There were four receivers on routes, and they were all stride for stride with a defender.
So it's third down and 10. Keep it back in the backfield this time, Salima. Down to 7:38 to play in the fourth quarter. Straight drop. They're wanting the screen. Morningside's ready for it. They've got defensive linemen over there with Salima, and it's a loss.
Yeah, Dominic Barrett's a big boy. It's 6'2", 280 pounds, roaming around on that defensive front for Morningside. And now you're kind of in a got-to-go situation no matter what. Fourth and 14. The playbook doesn't have a whole lot for this spot.
Salima will go to a receiver spot now as the Bulldogs go empty. Two by three, left to right across the line. Here is Barr to throw it. Got to have 10. Through the hands of Newell, incomplete. Middle of the field, would have been a first down in traffic. Incomplete. The Bulldog drive stalls with 6:58 to play. Turn it over to the Mustangs. Let's go down to the field, and Hank, who has a question.
Hey, give me the line for the Morningside quarterback. What's he today? How many yards? Number four clearly's lit it up. I think he had about 180 or 90 at half. Give his line.
He has a 22 for 36, 359, and three tutties.
Had five touchdowns in the opener. And threw for 329. Keep it on the ground.
207 of those yards are for Mr. Niles. As far as Truman is concerned, last check we had, they were at 3 yards per passing attempt. They are now 17 for 39 for 106 yards.
You know, in the first half, it was, I thought, a nice mix. Run-pass option, mixing in the pass. It's been predominantly pass, playing from behind in the second half. Scored in favor of the Bulldogs.
That is 2.7 yards per attempt.
Woods and Sheeler there on the stop of that running play. It's going to be third down and four. Bulldogs did have a very good drive in the first half. Started inside their own one. Got down into the red zone. An interception was thrown in the end zone. But on the first play after, Ponder fumbled. Bulldogs got it back, and they scored a touchdown. There's a pass on third down. Complete to the fullback for a first down. Solzma to Addison Ross, who had two touchdown catches against the Bulldogs in Sioux City last year. First down to the 46-yard line. Bulldogs were converting third downs in the first half, haven't been able to in the second. Mustangs have. 5-10 and counting here in the fourth quarter. While the Colton Steakhouse and Grill postgame show coming up after the game, including a visit with Greg Nesbitt on the field. We'll also have our player of the game feature, final numbers. Here's a handoff to Stratman. Who do they call 21? Because 22 we still don't have identified, do we, for Morningside? We thought that was Stratman, but now 21's out on the field.
And 21 they call Stratman.
Yeah, so 22 is but an unnamed participant today.
Jones, we'll call him.
Second down and seven. Handed off to Anthony Sims. Well, it'll be interesting to see how far Morningside can go this year. Once again, you figured if they could clear this Division II hurdle, and their biggest conference game will be against Northwestern Iowa on October 20th, they should be in good shape. Through the schedule, if they can get by Northwestern now, they could run the table once again. They ran through the first 13 games last year before losing in the national semifinals to eventual champion St. Francis, Indiana. I talked to the radio guys before the game, and they said that St. Francis, they thought that Morningside was the better team last year. They were disappointed that they didn't. They lost by 7-43-36, thought they were the better team, didn't get it done.
Interesting.
2 years before, they said St. Francis, no doubt, was the better team as they eliminated the Morningside Mustangs. Third down and five. 4 minutes to play. Jarring hit at the line of scrimmage by DeVecchi and company. And a timeout going to be taken by the Bulldogs, Hank.
Well, 22 is a mystery man. I just asked one of their players, one of their kickers over here. We can't find 22 in the program. What's his name?
We lost it, so he was meant to remain a mystery.
Remains a mystery.
Finish that. Let me finish that. Their kicker didn't even think they had a 22. Then he said, well, I don't know who he is. Said,
I don't know. That spot, Hank's just not working for us. I don't know what it is. Anyway, we don't know 22. Sure a fine young man.
If the kicker doesn't know 22, we don't know.
He went up and he asked the kicker, who's 22? No, I don't know.
Somebody, so right guy to ask. He's not breaking a sweat right now. They didn't even. They had to fake the kick for a touchdown earlier.
Somebody hopped on the bus. And here's the punt. Nearly blocked. Bulldogs almost got to it. Newell signals for a fair catch at the 12. So new punt returner. 3:53 to play. In this one. Bulldogs have one timeout left. Let's see who is in there I think they went back to Pablo Adame at center and Verbeck at tackle with the injury to Van Doren. Pass completion outside to Salima.
That's interesting because Hageman had come in for the end of the last series and then also just the element of some of the high snaps we've seen.
Hageman is still in there, Eric, so we'll go ahead and keep him in there. So kind of flip-flopping things. Lewis is out right now. Hageman is in at guard.
Maybe they're just trying things up all the way then because of just the score.
It's some different looks. Here's a pass over the middle, incomplete, knocked away, intended for the tight end, Ellis.
And I mean, that makes sense, actually, because if you're going to bring Hageman in that spot, you got to, I mean, I would imagine you would keep him in. Otherwise, they would have just originally put Adame back in. So I think they just want to see new formulas here, given the score and some of the struggles with Barr running for his life on every drop back. I see Chetri's still in there.
Yeah.
So he's moved.
Third down and three. Quick decision this time. Barr gets it to Ruffin. He turns it up the field for a first down to the 29-yard line. That was the kind of stuff working in the first half, just the short hitch route.
Right.
But at the same time, you had the read option game going as well. There was a time this first half the Bulldogs looked like the better team and had things going. Here is a pass near side to Roundtree at midfield, knocked away by Clayton Nordine. I mean, you take a look at the first half, you take the two muff punts away, that's 14 points for Morningside right there, and their third touchdown came on a fake field goal. So it could have been 17-3 Truman, certainly a different score than 21-17 Morningside. Dogs have not been able to put points on the board in the second half. 3:14 left, down 35-17. And we've got a flag as the play clock hits zero.
Barr tried to get a timeout. I don't know if it was granted or not. It looks like it was.
So we have a timeout. We'll take it as well. Back in 1 minute.
What makes a top hip and knee replacement hospital? Low complication rates, high patient satisfaction scores, and low prices. Congratulations to the joint replacement physicians at Columbia Orthopedic Group for making Boone Hospital one of the top hip and knee surgery hospitals in America. The physicians of Columbia Orthopedic Group are national leaders right here in mid-Missouri. We're online at ColumbiaOrthoGroup.com and call for your appointment today at 573 573- 443-2402.
When your vehicle has mechanical problems, call Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive in Kirksville at 660-665-8464. Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Auto's ASC certified mechanics use computer diagnostics to repair your car or truck. From major engine to transmission repairs, they'll fix it right the first time. And when you're ready to upgrade your new vehicle, go to Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive located on West Potter in Kirksville and select from their lot of quality pre-owned cars and trucks.
To Stoke Stadium, Eric Duick heading down to the field, post-game coverage. Hank Jansen with us from the sideline. Second down and 10. Barr drifting out of the pocket. Now throws and got a receiver, Salima. Crossing, breaks a tackle, gets out of bounds at the 35-yard line. Good job by Salima to come back for that football. Third down and four here for the Bulldogs. We'll be in Saginaw, Michigan on Saturday. Long trip for the Bulldogs. Longest of the season coming up. Continuing their streak of games in the state of Michigan. Barr drops to throw it. And he's scrambling again, trying to keep the play alive. And now we'll tuck it and just scoots inside the around the other side of the marker to get a first down. Well, let's take a look at the mark. Maybe it's not a first down. It's right at the 39, and that's where the marker is. We may have to have a measurement.
We do have an injured Bulldog. Number 78, Nicholas Verbeck.
And Verbeck is now down for the Bulldogs being attended to. So the second offensive lineman to go down here in the fourth quarter, Van Doren. He was able to walk out. Now Verbeck is trying to walk off. Looks like maybe a cramping issue. He gradually comes off the field. Coming up after the game, the Colton Steakhouse and Grill postgame show. Before, after the game, stop by Colton Steakhouse and Grill, located on Highway 63 at the south end of Kirksville. And enjoy the most tender and juiciest steak west of the Mississippi, or call ahead to have your order ready. First down and 10. Barr from the pocket this time steps up in the pocket. Now fans to the near side. Will tuck it across the 40. Bumped out of bounds at the 43-yard line. Pick up a 4. 2:14 to play in this one. Bulldogs won't play a conference game until week 5. And then it'll be conference games the rest of the season. Barr floats a pass downfield for Ruff. A nice adjustment on the ball. Beats Span to it. Picks up a first down. At the Morningside 28-yard line. Clock stops inside of 2 minutes. Now starts up again. And let's see the officials.
Play on the football. Any Truman receivers really made this year so far?
I would agree. Eric down on the field there.
First down for the Bulldogs.
Spinning around, making the catch.
28-yard line.
Clock is stopped at 1:53. Now after the stoppage, they start it back up. Empty formation. Here comes the blitz. Barr senses it. Gets it to Roundtree. On a quick pattern across the middle, tackled at the 13-yard line. pickup of 15 yards, and we've seen the debut of Colby Roundtree with some catches here today. Barr to throw it. 1:36 left. Scrambling far side, throws for the end zone, intercepted. Was looking for Ellis and was picked off. So another turnover in the end zone. That is the third interception this season that has been picked off in the end zone. And the third interception thrown today by Barr. And with 1:30 to play, Morningside gets in the victory formation. And Solzma will take a knee. Some good things in the first half for the Bulldogs. In many respects, should have, could have had a lead. Trailed 21-17 at the break. And it's been all Mustangs here in the second half. The third-ranked team in the NAIA will win their 19th consecutive regular season game. About the only thing Steve Ryan's program hasn't accomplished is a national championship. Will this be the year? Second down and 12, and a kneel down again. 47-46 and counting. Bulldogs can't stop the clock.
Mustangs take a knee, making it third.
Well, Eric, a long couple of road trips coming. Maybe the road will be kind for the Dogs.
You'd have to hope so, Brad. I think as much as the scoreboard right now, it's really important that we remember that if it's not for a couple of muff punts and some of these pass protection issues right now, this game is a heck of a lot closer than the final score reads right now. You said it at one point in the first half. It could have been 17-0 easily. And it's not one of those typical situations where you just say, oh, yeah, we were the better team, we just lost. You know, those are easily correctable issues.
I do think the Bulldogs did make some steps forward offensively today, certainly from the opening performance. But Morningside wins it 35-17 here at Stokes Stadium. Time for the Colton Steakhouse and Grill postgame show. We're going to step aside for 2 minutes, and we'll come back with our postgame coverage right after this.
Truman State University, located in Kirksville, Missouri, is consistently recognized as one of the nation's best colleges and universities. Most recently, the September-October issue of the Washington Monthly ranked Truman as the seventh best master's university in the nation. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine selected Truman as number 19 on their list of the 100 top values in public colleges. Call us at 800-892-7792 to set up your personal Truman State University visit.
Do I qualify for wound healing treatment at Samaritan Hospital's Wound Healing Center?
If you are suffering from diabetic ulcers, infections, radiation injuries, or wounds that haven't healed within 30 days, you can call the Samaritan Hospital Wound Healing Center today for an evaluation. There's no referral needed. Call 660-395-8330. That's 660-395-8330, and let them help you heal. Samaritan Hospital in Macon. Community-focused, personalized service.
70% of homebuyers settle for the first real estate agent they meet. Century 21 Whitney Agency's professional realtors are relentless. We go above and beyond to defy mediocrity. We know that average doesn't sell. Like us on Facebook, visit our website at c21kirksville.com, and then call us at 660-665-5678. Don't settle for average. Choose an agent who will give you 121%.
Greatness. It's not born of coincidence. It's not a product of luck. It's forged through dedication, drills, and the acquisition of new skills. Wanting won't get you there, but sweat equity just might.
Sheraton Valley, your complete communications provider, proudly supports all area school activities. Sheraton Valley wishes you the best of luck this season. See how we are keeping you connected at cvalley.net.
A short kickoff handled at the 10 by Woods. He'll try to make up for his mistake, and he zips through a seam to the 35, to the 40. Picks up a block at midfield, turns on the burners. 20, 10, 5, touchdown Truman. A 90-yard answer for Lawrence Woods. After he gives 7 points on the muff punt, he takes it back to the house. That was certainly exciting. Woods had muffed a punt. Morningside scored on an 18-yard run by A.P. Ponder, but then Woods atoned for that, came right back with a 90-yard interception or a kickoff return for a score to tie the game at 7. The Bulldogs took a 14-7 lead as Jaden Barr was able to score on a 4-yard touchdown run to make it 14-7 with 3:11 to play in the first quarter. After another muff punt, a short field, Trent Salzma touchdown pass to Juergensmeyer from 15 yards out, tied the game at 14. Bulldogs got a Josh Scheiderer field goal. It was good from 27 yards out to take their last lead at 17-14 with 5:59 to play in the second quarter. And then Morningside went on top for good on a fake field goal. Connor Niles rushed it in from 6 yards out to make the score 21-17. That was with 3:44 to play in the first half. That was our halftime score. Two touchdown passes from Trent Salzman in the second half. A 47-yarder to Connor Niles with 6 minutes to play in the third, and an 11-yard touchdown pass on a screen to Jared Myers with 9:37 left in the game. And Morningside with the victory by a score of 35-17. On the Colton Steakhouse and Grill post-game show, let's go down to the field. Eric has the head coach.
Thanks, Brad. Coach Nas, overheard your message there a little bit, saying your guys made some strides this week. What'd you see out of your group?
Well, it was a much better brand of football. We made some big-time serious mistakes with two drop punts and gave them 14 points. Hats off to them on a well-executed field goal. We're playing it on that side. It didn't look like it, but they did a nice job. That's 21 of their 35 against a really good football team. And I saw more fight. I saw our offense start to find itself at times and resemble an offense and move the football. And that being said, we're a long ways from being where we want to be or need to be at that point. But saw some real positive strides, and there's a lot of season, Eric. That was the message. The kids, we've got an opportunity to compete for a league championship, win a bunch of football games, and in 24 hours to wash this out and go about the business, try and be 1-0 next week.
Be it the offensive line, which I know you hit on a bit last week, or some of the further strides offensively?
Well, I think we need to continue to build on the few things we did well today. Once you find something to add on, now it's companion plays and plays off that and push the ball. You know, we had a couple opportunities to take some shots on some one-on-one posts and check the ball down low. For completions, but we need to push it down there and get the ball vertically a little bit more down the field, but really just continue to build on the positive things we did and keep branching out or expanding as we improve our execution.
Truman State head coach Greg Nisbet with this post game. How much of a benefit is it for your defense to get to go up against a guy like Salzman Niles in their passing game?
Well, it's as good as the quarterback was today. He's very good. 4 was impressive, and been doing it a long time. And we didn't have any answer for him today. He was a good player and came up big. Probably the biggest one of all was a 3rd and forever. For about a 40-yard gain, if my very limited old brain, if my memory is correct. And he just seemed to come up when they needed him. But it will serve us well. We defended him well, a lot of snaps throughout the day, so that will help us down the road.
And how important are these next 5 or 6 days before you hit the road for a couple of weeks?
Well, they're huge. You know, with young people, it's definitely going to check the resiliency and confidence level. We got to stay together. We got to find a win here sooner than later, just simply from a confidence standpoint to keep working.
Truman State head coach Greg Nisbet, appreciate your time postgame.
Thank you.
Brad?
All right, Eric, thank you. Post-game coverage from the field, head coach Greg Nesbitt on the Colton's Steakhouse and Grill post-game show. Final score, 35-17. And let's name our Buck Brothers player of the game and the leader in receptions, Dante Ruffin. 5 catches, 57 yards with a long of 29. Will make him our player of the game. Brought to you by Buck Brothers. Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive in Kirksville. For major engine, transmission, and brake repairs to your car or truck, don't forget to look over their lot of quality pre-owned cars and trucks at Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive, located on West Potter in Kirksville. Some other numbers for you on the Truman side. Colby Roundtree made his debut, 2 catches, 36 yards. Mitch Nichols from Hannibal, 3 catches, 27 yards. Andy Satula had 2 catches for 24 yards. C.J. Brown, 2 for 13. And a debut for Spencer Newell out of Joplin as he had his first catch as a Bulldog for 8 yards. And running the football, quarterback Jaden Barr had a 100-yard rushing game, 17 carries, 106 yards, and 1 rushing touchdown. Jordan Salima had 12 carries for 38 yards. Barr, 22 out of 47 passing the football, 173 yards, 3 interceptions. That's the negative to that line. Completion percentage under 47%, was sacked 1 time. For the Morningside Mustangs, Connor Niles was the player of the game, as Coach Nesbitt mentioned on our post-game show, as he had 9 catches for 207 yards and a touchdown. Trent Solzma goes over 100 TD passes for a career, goes over 9,000 career passing yards here today. Solzma was 23 out of 37 for 367 yards